Well, there goes the neighborhood. Good morning, everybody. Dave Lefkowitz here, hosting the 961st episode of the Dave's Gone By Facebookio, Podcastio, Programmio of the stream live on this very last day of summer. I thought it would be the first day of fall, but it's not. It's September 21st, 2024. We are bidding adieu to the summertime and don't to the autumn time. I'm here with my darling and adorable wife. Oh, and yes, we have a brand new friend. here again. So, if you've been watching the show, you know we've started, for no good reason, collecting these. I mean, for years I've been collecting these. For years, you know, of course, I've been collecting the beautiful toy box creations.
He needs his special
I ain't given him his makeup yet.
And that's his podium. He sits on that because he's a movie star now.
Oh, each buttock. Thank you.
Or put on his hat, too. He likes to be
strong. Oh, and he loves it here. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've been collecting these since 98, 99.
When
I had my hernia. My stroke. That's coming.
No, because we're visiting a stroke center.
Hernia. Yeah. So I've been collecting these forever. But recently we've been going to Target. For other reasons.
Don't have the cowboy ones. Oh, I have my.
They're downstairs.
But
yeah.
Maybe I have a picture. You talk, and I'll look for.
Yeah, it's TAYTO. These potatoes that.
I must have taken a picture of them.
Really cute, and they're dressed like cowboys. No relation to our toy box creation friends.
Oh, I'm taking a video of my foot. Hold on.
And so they're these. I don't know. They look like Molang from Molang and Pew Pew. They're big, fluffy. Sort of like Squishmallow, but a totally different company.
Well, now, we unknowingly got the lamps.
Right, yes. How will you unpack this?
I'll fetch a lamp for you.
Yeah.
The
potatoes are in the other room.
We don't have the one that's the dinosaur. There's another one. So, they might come out with a third one, but we don't know what he is. What's the third one, a dinosaur?
Oh, they have all different kinds of these... Yeah, so in Target, they carry this. It is a potato sheriff of the Old West in a lovely vest and a kerchief, and this paper is extra. That's not part of it, but the hat is, and we've mentioned this. It's kind of neat because the garments are actually sold on. It's not like just a plain potato that you then accessorize because they want to make more money by doing the accessories
sold on. Like an American Girl doll or something. Here, I'll take that.
So here's...
These are the first... We got these in Marshalls, but not the... We went to Marshalls near your another college where you work, not our normal Marshalls.
Oh, right. Did we? Yeah.
Oh, see, look at this.
Love it.
Give me a second. It'll come up.
So, anyway...
So these are the two that were in Marshalls. See, look. You'll see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So as Target gets them in the store, we get them.
Right. So we have a couple now of the original cowboy potatoes.
Yes.
We found these, which are by the same company. They're potato astronauts and of course, lights.
Oh, my God.
And if you're really talented tits.
Look at these ones.
All right. Wait, what is this?
We don't have it. That's from the company, but they have them like fast food.
Oh, I see. These are all... Oh, no, we can't start getting these things. These are potatoes dressed as various fast foods.
But Target doesn't have them. So Forever 21 and all the different companies, they each get... So they each... Oh, my God.
Oh, they're adorable. They're cute.
David?
Yeah, they're very cute.
There's one as the Chainsaw Murderer.
Oh, that is so cute. Come on, we got to get that for Halloween.
No, but that's not a Target. So these are the company makes them. But we get the ones that Target carries. Every store gets a different type.
That's freaking funny.
He's a Chainsaw Massacre.
That's funny. Okay, I love that.
He's adorable.
But we were at Target this week, and just our luck, they did actually have the potato dressed in a shark costume.
What's the name of it?
Oh, T-A-Y-T-O is the thing, but the company is, what is the company? Smoko.
S-M-O-K-O.
Smoko.
Smoko.
So Smoko makes...
Oh, my God.
Oh, here we go.
David, oh, Jesus. They have little naked ones, too. This is...
They do make them naked.
David, yes. I want one. There's two, like, cherries and one, like, a strawberry.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet child of mine. They're adorable.
You know, I was the one who started this whole let's get a million potatoes kick. And really, all I meant was this. But now my wife is kind of...
Oh, I think they have the crocodile. That's the other one.
Oh, with the croc, yeah. But they have one of them that was really adorable and
ones,
weird. Yeah.
These are little tiny naked potato statues in the bath.
Can we show this on
TV?
Oh, we can. Wait, this is by them?
Yes.
Oh, this is so cute.
They have like a whole series of little ones. They're in the bathtub, see? In the bathroom.
Wow. I think this company was invented to bankrupt us.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're adorable.
I've
never seen, like, and here, they have one that could help our potatoes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You mean the cowboy ones or the...
Yeah, apparently he knows fire.
What is... Oh, I see,
yes.
Because... how do we even explain this? We got a couple of the ones dressed as cowboys.
Yes.
And then in Target, they had... Yeah. Fake fire logs.
After I went to the dentist, I went to Target because we got a log pillow and fire, a cute little.
Foam or whatever they're making out of.
It's to kids to mature. Play like it's for children to play like it's to make arsonists very young. I think.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. So there you go. There
Show
you go.
One with the thing you still.
This is the greatest company besides Heinz ever.
I've never seen like they just are honest to God, David. Oh my God. For me, I love these ones. They're fruit plushies. Look at these.
Fruit plushies? But are they potatoes as fruit? Okay, we need to show that. We need to share that with our audience.
That I love because there's a vegetarian.
Oh, they're cute.
Yes.
These are really, really cute.
Look at the banana one. He's adorable. Like,
all of them. All,
they're so cute.
Mm-hmm.
But we only get, like, I think they go, like...
Well, I didn't know Target carried... The
no, Target doesn't have these, so and some are sold out.
Oh,
wow,
yeah,
9 reviews, 100%.
100%.
They have paper and pens, they have all sorts of 65 in total. They have have a dragon.
I think we've seen the dragon is adorable.
They have one dressed as a boba, a skeleton, you know, the cat.
Yeah.
They have one dressed as a gingerbread man and a Thanksgiving turkey.
Oh, come on. Is the turkey cute?
Look at this one. Yes. He's drinking a boba and he's a couch. He's a light. David, he's a light boba on a couch potato.
Yeah. He's not actually dressed as a boba. He's just drinking a boba
drinking
while
a boba.
Sitting
yes,
on a
yes,
little...
Yes, of course. What's wrong with that?
No, nothing.
He seemed to be...
Nothing whatsoever,
ambient
folks.
Ambient light. Warning, may cause sudden cravings for both potatoes and boba. They have one dressed as ramen noodles.
That's cute.
They have one that's they have one, the potato one you could wear as a costume.
Ooh, well, yeah.
A cow. They have a bat. They have the chainsaw massacre one.
Right.
A cat. I don't know what mochi.
Makes
a
sense.
Bunny.
Oh, a bunny! I think the bunny was cute.
Oh, and you have the.
I have the. Oh, the mouse. I have a mouse. Yeah. Mouse like a computer mouse.
The cowboy is like $10, maybe $8 cheaper at Target. It's coming soon to them, but Target has it. I think it's.
Whoa.
It's sent to Target.
Thank you, Target. Anyway, you're watching Dave for whatever reason you are.
They have a model, a skater model.
Yeah. Is it cute?
And the shark is even cheaper at Target.
Well, the Target, I guess, sets there. Oh, and the sailor. I love the sailor boy.
And the Target, he's coming soon to them, so he's a Target here.
Yeah. When he comes to Target. What?
They have the shark one coming without the...
Without the seal on top?
It's more expensive. Look here.
Wait, they're not even putting the seal on top?
No,
that's
a Target special. He's a rare one.
Look at that. Well, what's on his head then? Why is it gray on it? He's got something on his head.
Click it here. I'll take it.
Let me just see it.
Look at
him. Is it? No, he doesn't.
No,
Oh, that is strange. It's a different color, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to, look at him. Skater Tago Potato is really cute.
They're all cute.
He's just really basic.
Let me say, because we got it cheaper and we got 5% back at Target.
Yes. So. Yes, we need to buy stock in Target and then buy Target out of all these marvelous, terrific things. As I said, you're watching Dave's Gone By. We're live on this Saturday, September 21st, 2024. We have more to deal with and talk about than this. We got a lot on this episode of the show.
See if Target has it cheaper.
I hope so, or maybe Amazon, or
Tato Toy. What is it? What's the name again?
Tayto Smoko. The tension is mounting.
Yeah, look at the prices we paid. We paid like $8 cheaper.
Yeah.
For both of them.
Which is why we go to Target.
The only one we don't have. See this one. So the crocodile is also a Target. That'll be the next one.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that are Forever 21 are the banana. See, the bananas at Forever 21.
Are those smaller? Are those the same?
No, they're the same. But
yeah.
And Hot Topic has the potato. Forever 21. Oh, we got to go to Forever 21, David.
Where is Forever 21?
I don't know, but they have all the fruit ones.
Ah, gotta get
them. David, we got to go there. Where is it? I'm going to look to see where there's one near us.
I've created a monster, ladies and gentlemen. My own collection of potatoes that basically began when I got one as a gift.
There's one near school in the mall.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, the mall where everybody gets killed. We should go there. Yes.
There's a bunch of them.
We got to do that. It's actually not that dangerous, but if there's crime in that area, it's always in or near that mall. But maybe they want to steal potatoes, and this is what is happening.
I believe so.
And so that's where Forever 21 is?
Yeah.
We have to go.
I'm looking to see on their website if they we could actually just order from the website, too. You know?
Well, yeah. Well, depending on shipping, but yeah. Because Jew is not going to pay
you. Get $20 more in your first order, so we got to do that.
Yeah.
Spell the name again. S.
M. O. K. O. Smoko.
Oh my God. Look what they have.
When they have
the strawberry.
Yeah.
Then they have the cherries, which is a keychain.
Oh, yeah.
You get 20. Then they have the banana. They have the watermelon. Oh my God, David. Oh my, what is that thing? Oh, a strawberry keychain. We can get a little tiny keychain.
If you would absolutely carry that.
Oh, look at this one. It's peach.
Oh,
peach keychain. What the heck is that? He's dressed as a Care Bear. Oh my God. What? I think they have the they might have had the one with the
Oh, and it's gone?
Freddy Krueger, yeah.
Oh, we've got to bring that back for Halloween.
Yeah,
I mean, anyway, I've been holding this for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He's really cute. We're very happy.
And he's got a seal on his head.
I should probably try and call the Smoko company and say, I have a podcast. I'm an influencer.
You should, really.
Send me this.
You really should, David.
You know?
You really
should.
I
mean, just try and make hay of what, I should call whoever runs Bitcoin.
Make a Twitter. You got to make those short social
videos. Videos and show them and have me, having anal sex with them or something.
No, we would have to put the campfire and put a light to make it light,
That'd be cute. That would work. Anyway, so, yeah, we got, this is our big news this week.
The seal looks so sad. I feel sorry for him.
Well, that's why I've made you sign these things with frowns or.
Because I think they're supposed to be, like,
well, he's
serious.
Not him.
He's smiling.
Yeah, he's smiling. But the cowboys are like.
I think that's how they look. Potatoes aren't always happy. Our potatoes are happy, but most other potatoes,
Well, because they're awaiting the friar. I mean, that's
yeah.
Or at least the prelate.
They know.
Okay.
They know what's going to happen.
Well, let me tell you what's going to happen on this episode.
I'm looking in the news for you.
Oh, yeah. Of the Dave's Gone By Facebook, your podcast, your programio of the stream. So, yeah. Going to be really. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What? They said that,
Medicare, what?
Yeah, Medicaid, yeah. This is the thing. I asked 3 butchers how to choose the best steak, and they all said the same thing.
What?
I don't know what's probably fake.
Oh, I thought it was a joke. I thought, no? Oh. And I said, really?
Oh.
On this episode of Dave's Gone By, so, we have some of our usual segments, although they're all unusual in their way. First of all, we have Greeley Times, because my wife and I lived in northern Colorado in a little town called Greeley. Thank you, B. For more than a decade, we were in northern Colorado. And while we were there, discovered that the local newspaper, the Greeley Tribune, would run a weekly column called Cop Log, which was based on actual phone calls that came into the police department the past week or two. But the thing is, they stripped out the identifiers of the people and the actual addresses, and then put in just what were the funniest calls, the funniest, most ridiculous things that people were saying were happening in the neighborhood. What do you need? I have my phone.
No, the phone for the Greeley phone.
Oh, wait, is that... Wait, do you use this? Oh, that's yours. Oh, okay, sorry. They strip out the identifiers and publish the funniest ones, the most ridiculous ones. It's in a column every week called Cop Log. We take the funniest ones of those, extract them, and turn it into a segment called Greeley Times. Speaking of Colorado, we also have our... Oh, I can do that too. We also have our Colorado Limerick of the Dam, my friends, and the crawling sloth. This is also because we lived in Colorado, and I decided to write a poem about as many places in Colorado as I could, whether their names were really easy to rhyme, like Alt or Vale, or whether I had more well-nigh impossible, some of them, but the ones that were still vaguely possible, I've tried to write a poem about each and every one, and, well, we have a couple of hundred of Colorado Limericks of the Damned by now, and a brand new one this week. We are going to Ayer, Colorado. A-Y-E-R. Ayer, Colorado. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. There's not that much info about it. And also do a brand new, sick, twisted, disgusting little limerick poem about it. So we have those. We'll also have Dave's Big Dick Shinary. And let me tell you what, basically, the idea is a word will be picked at random. And then my job is to talk extemporaneously.
Well, the word is not picked at random, that's the lie. The word is picked by...
Well, do you think they page through and they go random the way we used to?
We don't really have any understanding of how they do it.
Yeah, because what happened was for a couple of years... my wife would page through a dictionary. I tell her, stop, well, you know, to put her finger on a word, and that was how we would do it. Now we're doing something else. Merriam-Webster has a word of the day. And so whether it's chosen by editors very particularly, or maybe they randomize, if they like it, they say yes, if not, no.
I wonder how they do it.
But they come up with a word. And the word of the day, I'm getting it right now. The word of the day, oh, I think it's a good one. It looks like a good one. Paraphernalia. Good word. As someone who has never tried marijuana, paraphernalia may not work for me, but I'm gonna do it. So I have to talk whatever the word paraphernalia brings into my brain, whether it's really directly connected or something completely sideways and tangential, my job is to talk about something related to paraphernalia. We'll give you the definition, well, you know what it means. And then this is later in the show. That will be kind of my thing to do. Hold on, let's hear it.
Paraphernalia.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Paraphernalia. Paraphernalia.
Oh, Potato wants to know where the lady is.
Where's
the lady from?
Dude looks like a lady. So there we go. We will have our Dave's Big Dictionary segment, so that'll be coming on.
Oh, look when I did that. Look how you went. You sideways.
My wife is tapping a frame where the picture moved.
Yeah.
So, all of that plus...
Hey.
What? Plus a wretched pun of destiny. We do those... We were doing them pretty often a couple of years ago. Now we bring them back occasionally. I think we did one last week. We have a new one. This is where I tell a very, very micro short story But it ends in a horrible, stupid, not dirty generally, but just stupid, really stupid play on words, a pun. Because it may be the lowest form of humor, but it's still humor, and I love it. So we have, I think it's our 90, what number? No, it's more than, yeah, our 96th Wretched Pun of Destiny, and this one is going to be about coroners. Yes, indeed, coroners on the Wretched Pun of Destiny. And speaking of death and dying, Rabbi Saul Solomon will be here in the neighborhood for two reasons this fine week. Reason number one is he's got a new rabbinical reflection. It's a mini-sermon. Oh, that didn't go well. It's a mini-sermon. My wife's having some issues, like recalibrating the desk frame that she has. We can fix it. It's no big deal. Buy a new one. Our rabbinical reflection.
What's the second job?
From Rabbi Saul Solomon. Well, he'll be telling some jokes.
Wow, it put the image of the corn.
Oh, no, it ruined the whole thing.
Wow, look at that. No, but look.
Do you want me to show? I can show it on the camera if you want.
Yes, be careful, it's glass, though.
So I got my wife.
No, hold the frame, it's glass.
Yeah, so I got my wife we bought a frame, but I got her a card for, I guess, a birthday or an anniversary.
I'm going to move that out.
And so she put the card in the frame, which is a lovely thing, but I guess it got warm in here or something. So you can actually see the impression of the letters on the front
that's
of the card.
So cool. Yeah.
And it's, what do you call someone who loves you?
Me,
and the answer
that's
is
you.
Me. Yeah, that's in the inside of the card. But now it's like spooky ghost.
Don't say
frame.
Ghost. Don't say ghost.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Because you can probably rub it off with like Goo Gone or something.
I'm not using Goo Gone. What's his face?
You won't love Goo Gone? How can you not love Goo Gone?
I'm not what's-his-face. I don't like Goo Gone.
Well, anyway, now you have to align the card exactly where it was.
No, I don't.
So, Rabbi Saul will be telling jokes because he's in a fabulous, happy mood considering what happened this week in the Middle East. So, you don't want to miss his Hezbollah jokes on his rabbinical reflections. But then Rabbi Saul is also, the most important thing today, is that we have an actor.
Is it okay that you're cockeyed?
How cockeyed am I? Yeah, no, I'm a cockeyed optimist. Here I am. This is my actual passport photo. What do you call someone who loves you? Me.
I have to, get Windex and clean it, probably, right?
Yeah, Windex will make it shine.
No, but I can get off that googies. It's just, I'll clean it. Yeah, I'm going to clean it.
And if it doesn't come off, it was a $8 frame, maybe
$10
frame.
I think it looks really nice like that.
It does. And we can get another one. Yeah.
I like that shirt.
Thank you.
So I'll put it down here so I'll break it.
Rabbi Saul will be talking with an actor who, and I'm not kidding about this, is in his eighth decade as a performer. He started, he's not even 90 yet, but he's in his eighth decade.
Do you know who it is?
As a performer. I do. He started in 1959, I think was his first listed IMDb acting credit.
Wow.
And he's going to be off Broadway starting next week in a play that he wrote and directed. He's not in it, but he wrote and directed a brand new play, which I have to tell you the name of. It's called, and Rabbi Saul loves this, Soup in the Second Act. Soup in the Second Act. All my actors are they're stranded, I think, in a touring bus, and they can't get to the theater, and so it's all about their relationships and,
nice.
And how they do. So it sounds cool. Yeah. And they're doing it at Theater for the New City, downtown, over on First Avenue. So, yeah, and it's happening September 26th,
Soup in the Second Act,
which I believe is this Friday, or Thursday or Friday, and then runs through October 20th. So get your tickets now. If you're unsure, you're like, well, then let Barry Primus tell you about it. Now, yes, Barry Primus has been on Broadway, off Broadway movies. In fact, he's worked on several movies. Wait, yeah. Is it showing it? Yeah, I can read that. Soup in the Second Act is a play written by Barry Primus and performed at Theater for the New City. I believe he's directing it as well. Performances at the Johnson Theater. That's, well, I guess, I think they redid Theater for the New City, so now they've got a Somebody named Johnson gave him a lot of money. And it's going to run 2 hours with an intermission. Da, da, da. Yeah. So, but in terms of Barry Primus's life and career, I mean, he's worked many times with Robert De Niro. He was directed in one play by Elia Kazan. Let's see, he was in, I think 1954 was his first
show.
Real,
role or show?
He was in theater before TV and film, which makes sense. What else do you know him from? He was in Boxcar Bertha.
Go from theater to film rather than film to theater?
Back in the day. Back in the day, if you were a New York person, you did theater.
Then
you got discovered. Yeah. And then back in those days, they put you in live television. Wow. He just missed that era. What else? He was in a couple of Arthur Miller plays. Yes. When Arthur Miller was still alive and working on them. Yes. So, yeah. Barry Primus. You'll recognize him if I showed you the face.
Is that his real name? Because Primus sounds like a stage name.
No. P-R-I-M-U-S. It's the actual family name. Oh, the slots just moved. And most of you might recognize him from TV because he played the boyfriend of Lacey on Cagney and Lacey. He was Sharon Gless's drug-addicted boyfriend for several episodes of Cagney and Lacey. So he was there for a season.
Supposed to be the pretty one, right? The dating one.
Well, yeah, Sharon Gless. Ty Daly was married.
She was supposed to be like the mom cop, and they were supposed to be like the dating
the hotsy-totsy cutie.
Dating cop.
Right, yeah. And so she was dating Barry Primus in the show. So, wow, that sloth is going down, man.
That's really, maybe today because it's cooler, they're moving faster, right?
Not him.
The other one, look at him, he's like,
he's flip-flopping.
That triggers my vertigo if I was up like that.
He's slip-sliding away, my friends. So,
Why did you do your number so crazily?
Because, why not?
And why is Mel in there with the numbers?
Mel is always there.
That's true.
There is always room for Mel Mintz.
Do you think Mel knows that he's always present in your life?
I'm hoping he's watching.
Okay.
Melvin G. Mintz, a man I've never met in person, but a man whose face we saw in a Jewish-oriented magazine that they put out at Johns Hopkins Institute. And I just saw the picture of him, and I said, this man is God. This man, Melvin G. Mintz, the nose, the face, the whole...
The reclaiming community feeling, right?
Of Melvin G. Mintz. And so I made him sort of a hero of the show, and we actually got him on the program. And he was terrific. He was a marvelous, fun guest.
Yes, he was very fun.
Because we were both worried. We're like, sometimes you meet your heroes.
And they're disappointed. No.
Yeah. This was not the case with Melvin G. Mintz.
He definitely exceeded our... Why don't you tell him about the bird you saw? Give me the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Get up. What's the name of the bird? You saw some wackadoodle birds.
Well, I took a picture, but it was so far away. Even though the bird was huge.
Yeah, is it a raven?
I'm pretty sure we had a raven in the backyard and not a crow.
Who's the striped one?
Well, there was a, look, you can kind of see.
Let me see.
In the yard there. This is all the way in the back of the yard.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's the devil.
You don't like crows.
I'm going to put in Google search for you.
Well, that's a crow. Well, all right. Crow or raven depends on the tail, depends on the facial thing. I don't know. And then I also saw.
I can't flip your thing back.
I might have to see a urologist. Crow, raven, and then the same day, like a minute or two later, I was looking at, outside of the backyard, and a beautiful, my favorite color, a light brown bird, but not a dove. It was much more brown looking with stripy, gentle stripes, almost like it was in soft focus, much smaller than that bird, but also bigger than a sparrow. So I know it wasn't a sparrow either.
I mean, where were you?
Where was I? When?
Were you, for example?
What's that? Oh, what was I taking there? Yes, that was in the five and the under five place in Hunt Valley. They have things. I could have bought these. I did not. I would have bought this. They have a game called Toilet Toss.
What is it?
I guess you They're squishy things that you throw in. Maybe they're like the slots.
Oh, we should get that.
Yeah, except it doesn't look... This looks like poo.
That looks like...
It's the wrong color.
No, I think it looks like...
It's too orangey.
It looks like somebody who's had metabolic problems.
Yeah, exactly. Or
yeah,
if you eat...
You know, it looks to me like chicken... Oh, you got to get it. It's toss and stick.
Right, yeah.
But they're chicken... Maybe out of the box, they look like chicken nuggets.
Yeah, they don't look like poo.
You don't want to get this.
And this I... Do you remember that we used to have a toilet light?
It'd be good at night, David. When I get up, it would be helpful.
And we had it, and it lasted a week.
Yeah, but maybe this is a better version. Because it's
$5. Or $5.50. Because the under $5 store is now $5.50 to $5.95.
It's not going to play music. It's just going to be a light. That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you love to go at night in the bathroom?
It would help me find the toilet.
Would it really?
Yeah.
Do you have to? We have a nightlight in the bathroom.
I know, but you know.
Oh, well, except you use our ensuite bathroom, but that has a light too, doesn't it? Well, anyway, yeah. I wanted both of these things, but I considered that the poo didn't look like poo.
Yeah, but we don't know how it looks out of the box.
Well, you can see it through the box. That is not a design. That is.
Well, that's the real thing.
It really does look that color. And then the disco toilet lights, I don't know if the people, the manufacturers who make these kinds of things consider that toilet lids go up and down and lights don't last very long, or they're not like resilient like Christmas lights that you string across the front of a house if you're not Jewish. Yeah.
What are the best toilet lights to purchase? Energizer has a toilet light.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it shaped like a bunny or something, or
no,
what?
No, but it might be good. Look here.
But I don't think they're trying to be funny with it. They don't have disco.
So you can find it at night. Well, it does change color. But they say disco's a marketing ploy.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know that?
Yeah, but they swirl around like you're John Travolta.
No. Disco just means different colors.
When I go to the bathroom, I'm John Revolting. Come on, I just thought of that. How deep is your bowel? And it's like, anywho, did I mention Barry Primus is going to be on the show
maybe
shortly?
Now.
Yeah, I know he's watching. But what else? What else? I was going to do Greeley Times, but we're going to have to move that to later in the program when we will have our Wretched Pun of Destiny, our Colorado Limerick of the Damned, Dave's Big Dictionary, Greeley Times, and. And Rabbi Saul's rabbinical reflection. So, yeah, a jam-packed, a packed with jam morning here in the neighborhood. So it's so great to have you with us.
Look at the other guy's arm.
Oh, the slut, yeah. There he goes.
Poor thing.
Let me remind you that you can find out more about this program by going to our website, davesgoneby.com. DaveSGoneby, davesgoneby.com. So it's not just, you know, the website of the show where we have some pictures and things. Our entire archive resides there. Our very first show is there. Our second show didn't get recorded because of technical difficulties, but our third show did. And our 8th, and our 28th, and our 58th, and our 198th, and 748th. Honest to gosh, out of the 960 previous episodes that we've done, we've managed to salvage, in some form or another, about 957 of them. Some with some audio problems, some got a little truncated, or we lost parts of the show. But otherwise, they're there! For free to download or stream. For the first 15, 16 years, we were audio only. We were a terrestrial radio show. Then we went to an internet show. And then for the past few years, we've been doing this video podcast. And you can go back and watch. You can see me lose more and more hair. You can see my beard turn whiter and white. My nose hair turn whiter and whiter and get longer and longer.
You're a beautiful man.
My ear hair, too.
David, you're a beautiful man.
When I was on the radio, I used to show my scroggle hair, but now I can't.
You look at your shirt. Don't talk dirty. You look so nice.
Don't talk dirty. Then what
so
show
nice.
Are we watching?
You look so beautiful.
Thank you.
You're all pretty. Don't be, you know, we gave you the pretty boy shirt, so you look pretty.
Thank you, dear.
You look very pretty.
Well, you look adorable, too.
I look like, I just have my hair in a bun, and I'm watching the Menendez brothers kill their parents. And the one guy come of age in prison. It's not pretty.
Oh, ew. Oh, is this the, is this a docudrama?
He's watching his toupee in the toilet. That was...
Well, you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah. No, maybe not.
If I was in prison and I had a toupee, I would take it off. Wouldn't you? I wouldn't want to look good in prison. Like
exactly. That guy is not gonna get the action that the Menendez boy is from...
But you wonder why you... I don't understand why they would even let him have a toupee in prison. Are you allowed to have, like, a wig?
It's a good question. Are you allowed to have contact lenses?
Or toupee?
In a women's prison, do they allow you hair extensions? I don't know.
So, let me ask in real life.
Yeah. I'm curious now.
And they start with the killing and go back, so I don't even know. We don't even know in this movie if they think all that abuse was true. Like, what was going on?
We haven't even brought that up. So no, it's like a series.
Can you have a toupee in prison? Here it says in the AI, because in California it says inmates are generally not allowed to wear wigs or hair pieces unless it's medically necessary from a professional. Here it says...
When would it be medically necessary?
It says, incarcerated person shall not possess a wig or hair piece unless medically necessary. Right. Maybe, if you have, like, cancer or something, your head's cold. Like, you know, let's say that you're if you're going under treatment and you have no hair, you need it to keep warm.
Or maybe you need, like, a really, really big merkin because somebody's threatened to bite your dick off. And you say, well, if I cover it with hair, a big tuft of wig hair, I will be safer. By the way, did you notice at last time we were at Walmart, I got... a $3 hairpiece?
No.
Oh, it was a small price to pay. So Dave's Gone By is the website, davesgoneby.com. Plus, we put our archives at archive.org. That is a not-for-profit website that we have nothing to, you know, I'm just happy to have our stuff there.
It's for everybody, not just you, David, right?
Well, for art and culture and entertainment of the past 1,000 years. If they have it in public domain or they get the permission, it goes up there, like old radio shows and things. So we've got millions and millions of things. We have a whole channel on archive.org for old episodes and interviews of Dave's Gone By. So if you want to support them and show how valuable they are, instead of going to davesgoneby.com, you can watch our programs there.
That's so cool.
I love it.
Didn't you say they were undergoing a lawsuit or something?
They're always being sued.
What is the... I don't understand that.
For putting up things they might not have the rights to. Yeah, I know. I mean, you can put up a Tom Lehrer song because he put them all in public domain. If you put up a Bob Dylan song, you might have a problem. As opposed to doing it on YouTube, where if I play a Bob Dylan song, I get muted or blocked.
Yeah.
But some other asshole puts up a Bob Dylan song, it's no problem. I don't... I think it's because I tried to monetize early on. I monetized the channel, and therefore that precludes me.
Can you undo it?
I wish I could. I don't even know how. I thought I did. I can't even tell. But, I do the show. We generally have no music, and that is the reason. So we don't run into trouble.
Don't lie. You have your little piano toy.
I do.
You have music.
Well, I can play my own music.
Here we go. Let's go. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three.
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't play. Yeah. But thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell me for cowbell.
It's been 5 years since I've sat down on a piano.
Wow.
That is depressing.
Get a piano and play.
Well, yeah. No, I used to, back when I was, we were both at a different university, far, far away, they had in a building I was teaching in, there were piano rooms because the music school was also there. And you could just go into a room, if it was open, if there weren't students in it, and they had these little spinet pianos, real ones, you know, little baby keyboard things, real pianos, and you could just sit there and sing and play and do stuff, which I rather enjoyed. Anyway, archive.org and castbox.fm, which is where, if you care only about the audio of the program, if you don't care about seeing this and my handsomeness in this shirt, and you just want to hear the program because you're on the go, well, castbox.fm is a place where you can download the program as an MP3. And it's basically, it is a podcast. And then you can take it anywhere. So check that out. We have a channel there. And every episode we've ever done, the audio is at castbox.fm. We also have a YouTube channel, Dave's Gone By, as well as, well, I think that about covers it. But your first place to start is davesgoneby.com. And, of course, this Facebook page, where, don't forget that once we do a live video episode of the show, that stays on Facebook. We don't delete it, and it's automatically saved, which I think is quite wonderful. Slots just moved. Yay. And there you have it. All these different ways to get the same material, classic, and every episode is a classic, classic episodes of the Dave's Gone By program. Yeah, they're moving.
A double. Yeah, they're going. Maybe the fan is moving them today.
I wonder.
Do you think that the fan moves them?
I have a few fans, so maybe
we could put a little shirt or tie on them.
Oh, that would be cute.
Or a little hat.
Yeah, but the problem, that would keep them from...
Oh, they wouldn't, yeah, because they flip over.
Yeah.
That's true.
We should do a hat for our good friend Pooey. No? You don't think so?
When you hold him, grab him like this anyway.
He should have a wig. Maybe you get the wig out of the toilet that the Menendez guy was flushing. Here we go.
I'm so weird, yeah. Hold him like that, yes. Not in the mouth.
Yeah, no,
David,
all right, here we go. Oh no,
David.
I squeezed one off early. You ever do that? You squeeze too quick, and it's like, you know, there's too much still in you. Here we go.
Oh, that's nice. Look at him. See, then you don't get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
That's great. He's looking good, looking chubby. I like it.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful timing. Oh. So, a guest has just entered the neighborhood hood room. So we're going to bring him into the Zoom here on Dave's Gone By Live. We're thrilled about this.
We need a bumper.
What do you mean? What do we need? Oh, the top thing.
Yeah, I got it.
Is everyone good? So Rabbi Saul Solomon is about to join us in the neighborhood. He is a spiritual leader. He's been with us since our very first show, and he does a lot of our interviews. Now, he's going to be doing a sermon or a little sermonette after the interview, but first, most importantly, veteran actor Barry Primus.
Oh, wait, hold on. Somebody wants to come.
Is going to be joining us in the neighborhood momentarily, as a matter of fact. He's waiting for, we are Optimus primed for Barry Primus joining us and Rabbi Saul Solomon on this episode of Dave's Gone By. So let's start the rabbi's beautiful, beautiful music, joyful music on this last summer day, and bring Barry Primus to the neighborhood. Shalom, my friends. Shalom, my enemies. This is your old buddy, Rabbi Saul Solomon, founder and spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And it is going to be a delight for me and for you to welcome our guest in the neighborhood on this fine summer Shabbos morning, because we have a veteran actor, a veteran performer, and director who's coming to us all the way from New York, where he's going to be directing and has written a brand new play that they're doing at Theater for the New City. It is called The Soup in the Second Act. So it's going to be about actors, of course. So we're going to be talking to Barry Primus. Let me tell you a little bit about this gentleman here. He made his Broadway debut back in 1959. And since then, you have seen him in movies like The Irishman and American Hustle and one of Scorsese's first movies, Boxcar Bertha. He was in Bette Midler in The Rose. You probably, maybe you know him best from a recurring role he had on the TV show Cagney and Lacey, but it's more interesting to me that he was in a show based on a play written by Isaac Bashevis Sr. called Tybalt and Her Demon. Oh my God, he is the winner of an off-Broadway Dalrymple Award for Lifetime Achievement. And if you've ever had your Dalrymple, you know how painful that can be. Ladies and gentlemen, won't you welcome to the neighborhood Barry Primus. Shalom, Barry!
Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom to you. How are you this fine day?
I'm tired. I'm working. I'm getting ready for an opening, so I'm a little tired.
This is the opening is September 25th, or is that first preview?
The 26th.
26th. So do you have previews, or when it?
No, we go right into it.
So the 26th at Theater for the New City, which Crystal. Now here's the thing. I saw you've known Crystal Field because she was in some Broadway thing, or she was like an actress at that point in a show you did somewhere. How long do you go back with Crystal Field?
Crystal Field and I go back. Oh my God, she was in this. She was in a company of Lincoln Center with under Elia Kazan, so we know each other since 1960. We started knowing each other, but you know, she lives just down. The Theater for the New City is just down the street from me. I live on 10th, and Theater for the New City is on 10th and 1st. So, you know, I go in, I taught over there a little bit. I've seen all her shows and we've been friends forever and ever. And she's kind of a heroine down here, you know. She really has a great community theater. She services so many interesting people and all kinds of people that would never see the theater. And the people that work there are all mostly volunteer people. And she welcomes people in and teaches them things. And she's quite a heroine to me.
Well, it was like sort of she and Ellen Stewart were coming.
That's right. And Ellen Stewart had La Mama. These are, you know, there was at one time, you know, a real theater going public in New York City, you know, mostly middle class Jews, as a matter of fact, who supported the theater. And somehow those people are now supporting television. And so there's much less of this kind of theater. This kind of experimental theater, there really is only Crystal's and La Mama, really.
Well, you know, when landlords are charging $50,000 a month rent, which they can get from a restaurant or a garage,
absolutely, why the hell are
they
going to
do it? Rent.
Like, you know, so, you know what the world, you know what Jews say, the world is based on three things. You know what it is. Money, money, and money. Okay, go on.
Oh, you just gave Hamas a laugh. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. By the way, are you okay? Because I am visually seeing something.
You know, you know what that is?
No.
That's to make me look good and slick for your show. It's grease.
Oh, okay.
Now you see the change in me, see? Okay.
I thought it was a Band-Aid or something. Oh, Mitmazel, you're great. Oh, thank you.
I'm okay now. I'm okay.
Much better, because grease is the word. Have you heard? So we're talking with Barry Primus here. So I have so many questions for you. Let me start, though.
Let me ask you a question. Where are you calling from?
Well, my temple is in Great Neck, New York. However, at the moment, I happen to be in Maryland with Dave, who produces this particular program. Dave's gone by. So okay. That this is my, and your home base is 10th Avenue in New York City.
No.
Have you lived in New York pretty much your whole life, or did you have to move to California for a while?
No, I moved to California. I moved to California when I did a film called New York, New York with Scorsese, and I got used to it. But now I go back and forth. I have one apartment here in the East Village, and then I have something in Hollywood.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, you mentioned some Jewish stuff. What are you Jewish, Greek? What is
frequently?
That?
Did you say frequently? Am I Jewish?
No, I said, are you Jewish or Greek? The name Primus, where is that?
Well, it might be Greek. We don't know how Primus came about.
Oh.
So there was some theory that it might have been somebody was disowned from the family, and so they took first. Primus meaning first in Latin, they took that as a name. We really don't know, but we're Jewish. My roots.
Oh, you are Jewish. I did not know that. Oh,
you are that?
No. I'm thrilled. Welcome to the tribe. Except you've been in the tribe for 87 years.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to be in it this second, but I'm here. You're right. I'm in it.
And we are going to talk just briefly about this. I'll bring this up early. That your sister was named Francesca or Francesca.
Right.
The reason I know this is that Dave, the producer of the program, is a member of the American Theater Critics Association.
Well, there you go.
So do you want to tell a little bit about the prize that is named for your sister?
Right. My sister was a part of the Critics Association, wonderful organization of American critics from all over the country. And she was a very happy member of that group, and loved the people on it, and the people loved her. And she wrote articles for Show Business magazine, and she was working on a book on feminist theater. When she died very young, we set up a fund for her. And so that we took her in her memory. So the Critics Association every year gives a prize to women writers, which we need. And so my wife says. So I come and occasionally and give it, and it's a nice occasion.
Yeah, you've done that in person. You give.
I try this year. I won't be because I'll be of all places Israel when they have their meeting. Have you know Israel?
Have you heard of it? Yes. I've never been there, but I've heard of it. It seems nice. It's on my list under Aruba, St. Thomas, and then Israel when it's safe. That would be, which is never. But how many times have you been to Israel?
Oh, many, many times. Many times. My daughter lives there, and my two grandchildren. She fell in love with a Russian immigrant. And they have a wonderful family, and they live in Ramat Gan outside. So I go a lot and stay. And I started going there when I made a movie there years ago called Torn Apart. It was a kind of Jewish Romeo and Juliet story.
Romeo and Juliet, quite honestly.
Juliet,
yes.
Was your other profession a comic or what?
And I just play one on TV. No, I tumble, I spiel. Yeah, I don't want to be a boring old rabbi
spiel.
Like, God will get you and thunder and lightning and this and that.
Are you a rabbi, David?
First, I'm Saul. My name is Saul Solomon, Rabbi Saul Solomon. And so David is the guy.
Okay. Oh, no, Saul, I'm sorry. Yes.
You should be sorry. But yeah, my name is Saul Solomon. And I have rabbinical instincts, which I employ when I visit on Dave's show.
I see.
You're getting it now. So let me ask you, speaking of Jews.
So you're near wisdom. You're near wisdom, okay?
I'm wisdom adjacent.
That's a good way to put it. Wisdom adjacent. So are we all.
If I stand next to a Bible, I'm wisdom.
That's right.
Now let me mention a Jew. Please give me your memories of him because you worked on pieces of his. Arthur Miller. Any stories about Arthur Miller?
Any stories? I was in like four of his original productions.
Right.
I was in After the Fall, famous play of his. An Incident in Vichy.
Jews, yeah.
It certainly was. And I was in another play of his called Creation. creation of the world and other business. And it was about, it's Cain and Abel. I played Cain.
And you know who played? It was Mark Lamos, the guy who founded Harvard.
How do you know that? How do you know?
I do homework. What do you mean? How do I do?
Oh, you really are wisdom adjacent.
There you go. But so tell me, he was working on these plays while you were in these debuts.
Yeah, that's right.
Any stories, any memories about Arthur Miller?
Arthur Miller. Well, there's so many stories, but I don't know. You know, I don't know what to say about Arthur. He was very tall, and he could be very strong about things. And I just remember him. You know, we were at the Watergate working on Creation of the World, and he was above me working on an act that I was in. He rewrote it 150 times. He was, you know, trying to get it together. And my wife, who was with me at that time, Julie Aronel, who choreographed Hair. She's the original choreographer of Hair all over the world. And she was in the elevator with Arthur, and I hadn't, you know, and I was trying to get these new lines every day, new lines. And she looked up, and she's small and he's tall. And she looked up and said, "Arthur, why are you rewriting Barry's scene over and over again? It's just impossible." And Arthur looked down at her, he had to look really down. And he said, "Well, Julie, I'm trying to understand and bring into the world how evil came about." You know, Cain and Abel story. How evil came about. My wife, who can be very off the cuff, said, looked up at him and said, "Well, Arthur, good luck." And rolled her eyes. Couldn't leave. And Arthur just looked down at me and shook his head like, "You got some package over there." There, he could be very warm.
Oh, good. Okay.
He could be very strong, and I liked his wife Ingrid very much too. And I don't know. I mean, I only remember him at work with us, with Kazan, and being around. And he's just, I don't know. I don't have a particular story about him.
All right, well, let me pivot a little bit, since you just mentioned Elia Kazan. Is it Elia or Elia?
Elia.
It was Elia. So you were working with him. Was there a feeling about him in the community? I don't know if this was before or after.
It was after.
It was after, you know what?
So
was he a pariah among certain actors?
There were some people who would not forgive Kazan, and I believe that some of the poor reviews when our theater opened at Lincoln Center and didn't last, after years of planning, was a vendetta against Kazan by some of the critics. On the other hand, there were people who suffered so many different ways. It was a terrible, terrible time. I think that probably the worst public figure until Trump was probably McCarthy. And he put a lot of people through a lot of things. And I, as a young actor, studied with all these people. Many of them couldn't get work, so they became teachers. And it's a very complicated and dangerous time. And yes, there were people who would see him walking down the street and they would jump into a store so they wouldn't have to confront him or see him, you know? And, Zero Mostel, who you all love, you know, is It's a famous story of Gadge, we used to call Kazan. His name, he got this name at the group theater, Gadget, from getting things. He was an apprentice. They called him Gadge for Gadget. And Gadge is walking down the street, 72nd Street, in his book. He writes that he felt someone's hands around his neck. It stopped him. The person whispered in his ear, "How could you have done that? I loved you so much," and let him go, because they had worked together. And Kazan said later, you know, all kinds of right and left people were angry with me, but Zero Mostel is upset by you. Feels terrible. He was a phenomenon, because his energy was phenomenal. He was very, very talented, and he was very good with me. And he was the best director I worked with, probably.
Well, what made him? You worked with a zillion directors on film. What made him like so great as a director?
Knowing human behavior so well. He was an expert in human behavior. And he was an expert on what was making the actor that he was working with tick. And he could take what was making the actor work tick and combine that with the role so that the role, the actors, who the actor was, he was able to tap into their need. And that need was, he put into the role. He would cast you because you had that need in you, and then he would bring it out. So it's a combination of both the actor and the role. And so we see these extraordinary performances by James Dean and Marlon Brando and all these different people. He was a friend of mine. Well, Robert De Niro, we were talking about it the other night, about Kazan, and he still says, when people ask me about Kazan, I always say he was everything you've heard about him.
Well, what do you think he found in you? Yeah, I mean, you were in a show called.
Well, he found in me was a lot of passion, and a lot of passion, and a lot of what we call stuff. Actors call it stuff. A furnace that's filled. Some people don't have it very much. The great actors have a lot of stuff. Sidney Pollack, another Jew, by the way, who also there's a lot of Jews in the theater.
And believe me, I have acted. I don't just have a furnace. I have a whole crematorium in me.
I believe it. We're seeing it now. And wisdom, adjacent wisdom,
yes. As long as the two don't get too close together and they catch on fire.
They catch fire. And then
I wanted to ask you, though, since we're on the show that Kazan or Gadge directed, it says on the thing that Faye Dunaway was a co-star.
Yeah, she was. Faye Dunaway was in the company.
Was she normal then? Was she like just a regular act trying to get by?
She was normal in the sense of being normally gorgeous.
Oh,
and right. And talented. And we were good friends. And I always liked Faye a lot. She's just had a tremendous amount of ambition and fire about herself, you know. And matter of fact, the first time she did an exercise in class, we were all doing exercises. My friend Jack also turned to me and said, "Why is she doing exercises in the class? We who are so ugly have to do exercises to become actors. Look at her; she should go straight to Hollywood." So,
well, it took a while. I mean, she.
I did a movie with her. I starred in a movie with her, which is going to show next Sunday. Downtown somewhere, Puzzle of a Downfall Child, and she got me that job, you know, playing opposite her. It's about a model. She's terrific and terrific.
So one of the reasons that we have Barry Primus is that you are a living legacy and lexicon of theater and movies and have worked with everybody. So I know he's a close friend of yours, but can you tell us a fun anecdote about Robert De Niro working or not working? Just something you won't mind you telling, but, you know.
I try to talk about somebody who's a friend. You don't know what to say. But first of all, he's very smart. That's what comes to me. Very intelligent. Unusually intelligent. And whether about politics or whatever. And it's hard for me to pin down one thing. He's a great friend. He's an unusually good friend. He's very thoughtful, unusually thoughtful. Close. He's the godfather of my child. And my daughter always laughs.
Robert De Niro is the godfather?
I know. She says, you know, she told me, because she doesn't talk about Bobby. It just seems to do that. But one day she happened to tell somebody in school that was her godfather. She said, you mean the godfather's your godfather? So
there you go.
He's very nice. He's wonderful with children. He's wonderful with his family. And you see, and I've watched him, you know, he was a very quiet person when I first met him many years ago. Now you see he's advocating, he's political, he's grown. He feels so strongly about the country. It's just wonderful how he feels,
So we're talking with Barry Primus here about, this is a close friend, but now one of the things that I enjoy doing is speaking ill of the dead. So are there people that you've dealt with or worked with who are no longer, that you know, they can't complain, that you're like, oh, he was a mamze, or she was terrible, she made my life hell. This is your chance. Oh,
I'm sorry. Cannot speak ill of the dead.
No, don't do that. No.
What's the matter? You never read the Talmud?
I've heard of it.
You've heard of it.
Look adjacent. Yes.
The only thing I can say about it is the old story of the rabbi who gets up in temple and he says, "So now we've done in the memorial. We've talked about Harry. Before we finish, is there something else we want to say about him?" Somebody from the back of the temple yells, "He wasn't this bad as his brother."
I like this. So I'll flip the question, though. Who is someone who is dead or alive that people might not realize they were really great or wonderful?
Eli Wallach, my favorite person in the world. I thought Eli was a gent. I never heard, speaking of what we're doing, I never heard Eli Wallach say a negative thing about anybody. And he had a great habit. When people were talking negative about somebody, he just sort of bowed out. And he was great. And Marty Landau was another friend of mine, another mensch. There were mensches, besides being gifted actors, terrific people.
Any goyim, any nice goyim that you've run into in your travels? Or
Of course a nice goyim.
Like who? Like who? Like who? Who else can you laud? Do you say, oh, they were great, you know, alive or dead?
They were great mensches?
Yeah.
Well, Uta Hagen, who gave me a scholarship, is a wonderful, wonderful person, a wonderful teacher. You know who that is? She was a famous teacher. And actress.
HB or
an actress. An actress.
Yeah.
And did many wonderful things. Yeah, I mean, there's so many people. I never think of them as goyim and Jewish. I mean, you're dressed as a kind of a rabbi, so I'm talking about this stuff. But of course, there are all kinds of most of my good friends were not Jewish. Most of them.
It happens. It happens. It's a strange world sometimes. Let me ask you about another very famous person. You've told a story. There's like a long interview with you. On the web that people can find. But if you can condense a little bit of that in your first audition for the great choreographer and director Jerome Robbins.
That's a funny story. Well, Jerry Robbins. Jerome Robbins, yeah. Wow. Jerry was my favorite person, probably.
Well, wait, he said something when you first auditioned for him.
Yeah, when I first auditioned for him. He was doing a play called Oh Dad, Poor Dad, Mama's Hung You in the Closet and I'm Feeling So Sad, by Arthur Coppi, who's a wonderful guy, also just passed away. And, so Jerry, I went to visit Jerry at the Bohemian Hall. I don't know if they call it that anymore. It's on 70-something Street. And Jerry was Jerry, in the middle of the room, bent over his desk looking at a script. And I came in. Anna Sokolow, who was a fantastic choreographer, had sent me there because my wife was dancing with her. And so I went to see Jerry. And I didn't have long with the script. The script is very abstract and funny, but difficult to get a hold of. And I didn't know what it was. And I walked in and I read. Jerry looked at me and he said, "Now, thank you. That was the worst audition I ever heard. Or none. That's the worst." He said, "I can't believe you did that." And he said, "But you know, Anna Sokolow is a very talented person and a good friend of mine. She seems to think a lot of you. I don't know why, but you're either an idiot well, you're very, very talented to come in and do that." I said, I didn't know what to say. My mouth was open. He said, "So I have a small part in the play. I'm going to put you in it so I can find out. But don't ever do that again. Now get out of here." And that was how I met Jerry.
And yet you became friends.
I became friends with Jerry, yes.
I mean, was he just... didn't you want to kill him at that moment? Well, he put you in his place, so that was that. But didn't you?
He was.
What?
Everyone described him as a genius. He there was something magical about him, and he was somebody's. The book on him says he was talented beyond compare. I was in a group. Well, he tried to put together a kind of concert theater of a few actors and singers and dancers to do plays like Brecht,
like table stage?
Chamber plays.
Yeah.
And we worked on.
Hello, Julie. She can wait. She can pop in if she wants to say hi. Hello.
Hi. Yeah. No, you know what we're doing? We're selling things here. You know, I mean, that's the reason
tickets.
Can you see this? This is the name of the play.
Soup for the second. Soup.
Soup in the second.
In the second. Is that the program? Is that the stage?
Yeah, well, that's just the ad for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
A postcard. It's
running at.
It's
sideways. The other side is like. Oh. Is it? You have it sideways.
It's sideways, yeah.
Is it? All right. It's at Theater for the New City, and it is running from September 26th through October 10th. Theater for the New City is over on 10th Street and 1st Avenue, by the way. So you got to get your tickets. It's written and directed. We have questions to ask you about that. By Barry Primus, who's talking to us right now. So
what this play is a group of actors are stranded in Syracuse in a terrible storm. And they're going to have one last performance. If this bus comes through with handicapped children, and while they're waiting for the bus and the tour will end after that, and they've been on tour a long time together, this family of people, they become a family like you do in a play. While away the time, waiting in real time to get to see if the bus is going to come or not, we're just going to close right away, and examine the relationships that they have and keep their spirits up by telling jokes. And the play is filled with their existential theater jokes. Can you share one?
Can you just do one to win?
Yes, I can.
Yes.
I'll get to where the title of the play comes about. I got this play emerged from my many years of hanging around with very funny and warm people in cafes and parks when I was a young actor until I was an older actor. Some great storytellers. There were wonderful storytellers like Jason Robarts and Marty Landau was another one. They were great people, but they thrilled me because they had a certain spirit and they were not of this world totally. They had something else going in which money was not the primary target of things. Well, here's one I got from, I don't know where, you know, as you go along, I can't remember who gave them to me and I should credit them. One actor meets another actor on the street, Times Square. He says, "Hey, David, I haven't seen you in so long. Where have you been?" He says, "Well, I'm in a play right now." He says, "Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations." He says, "No, not really." He says, "Why?" He says, "Well, you know, the play is shit." He says, "What do you mean the play is shit?" He says, "Oh, it's a horrible play." "Oh," he says, "well, so the actors must be very good though, huh?" Says, "Actors? You call those amateur actors? Ah, God, hate them." He says, wait a minute, the play's no good. You hate the actors? If they're paying you well, I'll tell you what they're paying me. Zip. Well, wait a minute. The play stinks. The actors are amateurs. And they're not paying anything. What the hell are you doing the play for?" And he says, "They serve soup in the second act."
There you go. That's really almost a revision of the "because of such, yeah, in such small portions" joke. It's kind of the same basic idea. The food is terrible in such tiny portions. But yet, this is a classic, very Jewish kind of sensibility and Jewish joke among many that you can hear and see in the new play by Barry Primus, which is at Theater for the New City, called "Soup in the Second Act." Now, I know we're running a little bit. How much time do you still have with us? Because there's like, you know, 174 more questions on here that I'd love to include.
Not too long, but
we have a couple of minutes. Yes, we have a couple of minutes.
Spiel some more? Go ahead.
I absolutely want to spiel some more. Let me spiel a little bit, though, since, yes, you're an actor, yes, you're a director, and you've done it long enough that you teach acting and directing as well. So what is like the one or two most important things that you try to convey to your students?
That the role that they're playing, they should search inside themselves to see if they can find genuine experiences in themselves of the character that they're playing. Otherwise, it becomes acting for a lot of times, which we don't like in the negative sense. Good acting usually has to have real thought and some experience behind it, whether it's real experience or imaginary experience, right? Because we've all been through everything and actually understand all kinds of situations and emotional things that have happened to us. We've all been through that. It's just a question that the actor admits it and allows it to come into the role and his understanding of the role. Yes, I'm playing Romeo, and I'm not in that, you know, 14th century, 16th century, and I'm not living in Verona, but I have been young, and I know if I examine myself when I first saw Julie, how I felt, where I was, and my need, and so I connect with my Juliet first, or partly, and then I get to that, then I put that Juliet onto the actress that I'm playing, and the combination of the two will create a reality on stage, you know?
I think that's absolutely true. Like, I have never been baptized, but I've taken a shower and got my hair wet, so I can kind of, you know, if ever I could do a scene like that, I could get through
it. Okay.
Now, speaking of your Juliet, how did you met your wife? How many years?
I met her at Bennington College.
Bennington.
You know Bennington College?
I know Bennington.
It's a liberal arts school, very small, very special. She was a dance major. She's part Polish, part Mexican. And I was intrigued with her from the, it's like Romeo and Juliet, the first time I saw her. Somebody said to me, we were sitting on the floor, I was 18, we were getting our classes assigned to us, and I smelled some perfume. It was vanilla perfume. And I looked up, and my friend said, look at that girl over there. She's the most beautiful girl in school. And there was Julie. And at that moment, I thought, wow, that's exactly what I always thought I wanted to be with. And the first time I took a walk with Julie, for a month at school, I asked her to walk with me. She wouldn't walk with me. So I played the guitar under her window, and her roommate said, would you please take a walk with that Meshuggah? Otherwise, I can't get my homework done. So she went and took a walk with me to buy cookies, and on the way back, it was snowing. And there was a barn, a beautiful barn. It was Vermont. It's where Bennington is. And I said, you know, see that barn and see that snow? It's so beautiful. When I get out of school, I want to get a barn like that and make a theater and live in the country. And Julie was standing in the snow. Her face, snow was on her face in a pea coat. She said, ugh, I hate the country. And I said, well, you got to get to like it, I said, because I'm going to marry you. And she said, marry you? I don't even like you. That's how we met.
Wow. So how did you change her mind?
Well, you've been talking to me a few minutes. You must
you're very charming.
Figure it out, right?
Talented, so.
Can you figure it out?
Did you do scenes with her and she realized that you had that spark you were talking about, the oven, the fire? Is that, do you think?
Fire was very easy to get to. The fire was very easy to get to.
Is she chuckling in the background there? Is she going like, oh, yeah? Or is she rolling around? Oh, I see her shadow moving.
Yes.
There we go.
So,
yeah.
So please, we want people to come. Can you send people to see?
Let's do one more push, a promotion of Soup in the second act, which is written and directed by Barry Primus. If you want,
I have some wonderful actors
in it. Yeah.
Huh?
Who's in it? Name the.
Well, there's wonderful actors that have come from Los Angeles, like Dae Young, and Kip Gilman, and Paul Coates, and just terrific people, and. They came all the way from California to do it. So they worked on it there at the Actors Studio with me. I'm a member of the Actors Studio, and they have a playwrights unit. And so during the playwrights unit, they and myself worked on the play over a period of a couple of years. So I've been very lucky to do that. I think the play isn't just about actors. It's about endurance, how we go on. An actor is a kind of a symbol of this kind of thing. They build a family, then the family's destroyed because the play ends. Then they have to move on and they build another family. But in the meantime, they have their hopes, but they survive through a kind of spirit, good spirit and warmth. And an idea that they're only alive when they're fully alive. When they're in this thing, You know, it's a special thing. I guess we all have professions where we're most alive, and to them, acting is the thing that makes the most alive. For me, I'm working on this play. I wonder why it's so exhausting. And I think, well, you know, Martha Graham said it best. Martha Graham said, all creativity is divine displeasure.
That is not just genius adjacent. That is genius right there. And absolutely true. Well, I will leave Barry Primus to his new temporary family. I hope you have a fabulous time with them. And I hope everybody watching this program will go see the results of what happens when Barry Primus writes and directs this play, Soup, in the second act.
Are you coming from Maryland to see it or not?
If I can get from Maryland, it's a long walk, but worth it. I'm going to start walking as soon as the show's over. I should be I might complain about my feet when I'm sitting there, but it sounds wonderful. And I also want to thank Jonathan Slaff for setting this up. He's the PR person.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so you know, Jonathan, thank you very, very much. This is wonderful. I invite you to come back to the program at some point to do more of this, because at least on this side, this was wonderful. And we have so many more. We didn't even get to the cannibal women in the avocado jungle, for God's sakes. How do we not even have time for that? But I know you have to run. I know you have to go to your show. So I wish you breaking many, many legs, toes and fingers and everything, success. And thank you, Barry Primus.
Thank
and
you.
Shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Bye-bye now. Barry Primus in the neighborhood, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, what a joy. Oh, what a delight. Well, just listening to him, just the not even adjacency, the wisdom of the years and the experiences. And yeah, he doesn't want to tell bad things about people. He's different from me. It happens. But anywho, I am Rabbi Saul Solomon, founder and spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And normally I would go away and bring back Dave. But Dave is allowing me to stay on and do another segment of the program this week. Isn't this exciting? For me, yes, because I helped him craft and work on some jokes that he would have put into a segment called My Sick Mind, because they're really sick jokes, and they came out of our mutual minds. But they're Jewy, and they're all about Israel and what happened in the Middle East this week, which makes me so happy. So I'm going to step away just for a moment to clear my throat and cough up some phlegm on my enemies, and I will be back to do a brand new live rabbinical reflection of Hezbollah jokes. So do not go away. I just need to get this ready here. Let me play a little different music. And then we will have our rabbinical reflection. Stop. Oh, shalom, damn it. This is Rabbi Saul Solomon with a rabbinical reflection for the beginning of autumn 2024. Whether secretly, guiltily, worriedly, or flat out joyously, every Jew is having a big who's your daddy moment right now. After nearly a year of rooting out the Gaza animals of October 7th, while trading fire with the opportunistic vermin of southern Lebanon, Israel needed a shot in the arm. They got it by giving hundreds of our enemies a pow in the pants. All these terrorists across Lebanon and Syria had been communicating through pagers, I guess because their mommies wouldn't let them have cell phones like big boy psychopaths. Well, those Israeli-made pagers were programmed to detonate, and detonate they did. The Arabs should have known something was up when they opened the box and the first thing they saw was para explotar, marque el ocho. These paramilitary Islamists suffered hundreds of injuries to faces, eyes, hands, genitalia. Now they look as grotesque as they behave. And yes, a couple of civilians and children died. I guess up in heaven, they can mingle with all the dead Jews from the music festival. And yes, we're all anxious about this new brand of warfare and what method of retribution the Islamists will select. But from the Yom Kippur attack to 9/11 to the Supernova Festival, our nemeses have never displayed a hint of human decency. So, no, you think this long-deserved punishment will suddenly turn them evil? I say now is the time to be proactive and invent some poison prayer mats. But I can't let this fantastic reminder of Mossad ingenuity and Jewish toughness go by without a little more levity. My friends, I bring you jokes, twisted punchlines for my Israeli brethren who get knocked down but punch right back. Ahem. Why? Let me try this way. Ah, that's better. Why are Israeli pagers a bargain? You get a lot of bang for the buck. Do the Syrians listen to Spotify? No, they carry a boombox. Did Mossad make a list of all of their targets? Yes, and they paged through it. What was the most impressive thing Israel pulled off? Well, they pulled off dicks, lips, fingers. Did Hezbollah leader Ibrahim Akil enjoy his time in Beirut? Oh, he had a blast! Did you know that Akil had blue eyes? Yeah, one blue this way, one blue that. Okay, that was an old one, but this next one is mine. Why are the Lebanese such fine pool players? Well, their balls go straight into the pockets. Oh, I can't get through this. Their balls go straight into the pockets. Now we're doing it. At what part of relay races do Lebanese men excel? The handoff. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we have more of these. We do. Why are Syrian generals feeling so lonely? They lost all their privates. Ahem, ahem. I did not write this next one, but I have to share it. What wireless carrier were the Lebanese using? AT&T. All right, I need more noise. Hold on. I need extra noise now. All right. Why was the Mossad attack like Nazis euthanizing the mentally ill? Well, they made all the nuts disappear. I need a new one of these, I think. Ah, what Broadway musical just came to Syria? MAME! What Italian movie just came to Lebanon? Blow Up! Why shouldn't Lebanese men drink? After they feel a little buzz, they fly to pieces. I like this one. What will Syrian men use to avoid COVID? Wrist sanitizer. God damn. Ahem. Oh, they just get worse, ladies and gentlemen, they do. Oh, wrist sanitizer. You got it. Okay. How can you tell when a Lebanese man is gay? His vibrator shoots up his ass. What do Syrian genitals have in common with an English breakfast? Bangers and mash. Because they bang and mash. Okay. What? I love this one. What do a Lebanese man's testicles have in common? Knew I should have played deep. Ha ha! What do a Lebanese man's testicles have in common with the Flintstones? Oh, my God. This is why I don't go on stage anymore. Bam, bam. All right. What's the funniest thing about all these Hezbollahs being killed or disabled? Everything. Happy almost New Year, my friends. This has been a rabbinical reflection from Rabbi Saul Solomon, Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. Time to turn the page. My friends, this is Dave Lefkowitz back after ceding the program for a while to the great Rabbi Saul Solomon. Do apologize if you missed the punchlines to a couple of those jokes. It's a problem that the rabbi and I share. If we write something that we think is funny, we tend to laugh at it. Even if we've told it a time or two or five, it's still, if it tickles the funny bone, it's very, very hard, Not to get a boner. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is about 22. Let me get my glasses again. 22:11 Eastern Time here in the neighborhood. You're watching the 961st episode of the Dave's Gone By Show with me, Dave Lefkowitz. We're calling this one Optimus Primus in honor of our brand new friend of the neighborhood, Barry Primus. Marvelous guest. Wasn't he so great to hear his stories? And go see Soup in the second act, which is going to be playing in just a couple of days at Theater for the New City in New York, on essentially near the Lower East Side. It's sort of like the East Village more than that. Okay, so what else do we have to do on this program? We have Greeley Times coming up. We also have a new wretched pun of destiny, which is all about coroners. And we've got Dave's Big Dick Sherry, which has to do with me talking extemporaneously, whatever happens to come into my head, based on the word of the day. Merriam-Webster's word of the day is paraphernalia. Paraphernalia. Have you ever been to paraphernalia? Paraphernalia. So that's coming up also in the show, and our Colorado Limerick of the Damned for Ayer, Colorado. So we'll be taking the Ayer from Colorado with a filthy, disgusting, and evil limerick. All of that to come on the Dave's Gone By Show. So I might as well do the the dictionary. Let me do that. Let me put myself on the spot. which is, again, let me first, let me find the music for it. And then Dave's Big Dictionary, I'll bring up the actual definition of the word paraphernalia. No, I have it ready and waiting. So let's do it. Here is Dave's Big Dictionary.
Extry, tell all about it. It's Dave's Big Dictionary.
So paraphernalia, ladies and gentlemen, which by definition, according to Webster's, which does its definitions of the day, just get rid of that, it can refer to objects or items that are used to do a particular activity, and objects or items that are typically associated with that activity. It can also just refer generally to personal belongings. So here's some examples from Merriam-Webster. Jordan's childhood bedroom was filled with hockey paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. And probably drug paraphernalia too, if you open the closet. After weeks of packing up all our paraphernalia, we hit the road and headed to our new home. Kind of like this. Today, paraphernalia is typically encountered in its equipment and accessory senses, like fishing paraphernalia, music paraphernalia, but the word hasn't always been used in this way. Originally, it referred, did you know this? To, you know, my wife is here, she wants this paraphernalia, she wants to hug him, I won't blame her. Yes, I have potato paraphernalia. Originally, it was property that a married woman owned herself as distinct from her husband's property or the dowry that she brought to the marriage. It came to English from medieval Latin, from the Greek term paraferna, meaning bride's property beyond her dowry, from para, meaning beyond, and ferne, meaning dowry. Although the word was plural in medieval Latin, you can use it either as a singular or plural verb in English. In other words, both coffee paraphernalia, lines the cafe shelves. I feel like I'm back in English class now. Or coffee paraphernalia line the cafe shelves. Both are acceptable.
So would you say that the seal is paraphernalia of the potato shark?
Or two seals are paraphernalia, or a seal
is
singular.
Doesn't he look on,
well, you're the one who taught me data. I always use data
plural.
Singular. It's plural. It's yeah. Datum is singular. Data is plural. Mm-hmm. And when I saw Joyce, I knew I wanted to data. Ow! Thank you ever so much. Listen, this is very sad. Our foghorn is dying. It has catarrh.
Want the big one here?
Oh, well, no, that's just as a siren. That doesn't do the. It's not a foghorn, but. Or not fog. What do they call this thing?
Air blast.
No, I'm good.
Your pig butt?
Well, the pig butt I'll take. Yeah, you
want
the pig.
The green or the blue or the red?
Green.
Or
green.
Big green. Big green, little bit lime green.
Oh, let's have a big green pig I can squeeze. I could use that. Giving that to, I offered it to the rabbi when he was doing the jokes, but he didn't want to touch the pig for obvious reasons. So here we go. Oh, this would have been so good.
Cute.
Yeah. We like him. So, anywho, paraphernalia. I think it's a cool word. Mm-hmm. It's one of those words that you love. It's not onomatopoeia.
It's got a lot of syllables that are fun to say.
Paraphernalia. So, yeah. I'm not really one for paraphernalia. Like, I would rather get a bicycle or something.
So,
but so, like if I'm getting something that has to be put together, like shelving or
I
don't want to
like
put...
Like, you would be like David and his potato paraphernalia. That be appropriate?
Well, I mentioned that before, but really, I have potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really about stuff that would go with them.
Would all my miniatures be paraphernalia?
If you had a dollhouse, I guess they would be. Like, if they... Choice collects these...
Why would it be different if they're in a house?
I don't know. Maybe you could be right about that. Maybe it's just the stuff, so it doesn't matter.
I didn't put the dates of that yard sale for you, but I put the place. Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of how to talk about paraphernalia of all these different things that you use. Well, no, you know what? I'm
like
not that
have,
type.
If you have, like, a pet, you have a lot of paraphernalia. The bowl, the hat, the cage, the food, the leash.
Yeah, and I find a lot of that a pain in the ass, and you end up getting things that you don't really... Like, you know what I don't like?
But it's
and
not,
I should like...
Paraphernalia is not extra, right? It's not... Does it mean something wasted?
Not necessarily. It's just all the stuff... I mean, like a drug addict has worked. They're going to need the needle. They're going to need the... But, like, I'm a person who would prefer to have 10 different screwdrivers instead of one of those screwdrivers that has 10 different bits that fit into the one main head. Even though that one's much more smart, much more convenient. And so I'm going to lose the little ones. I'm going to go scrambling around the toolbox. Not that I'm handy in any way, shape, or form. Me, I'd rather, like, okay, I need the Phillips head... Or I need the large head of the regular or the small head of the regular, not like find this one. There's a drill bit. Drill bits drive me out of my mind. It's a brilliant idea.
Oh, no. Not the drill. Should I get the toolbox?
No, you know what really grinds my gears?
Are we going to trigger you with the toolbox? All your,
well,
all
the drill
your
bit.
Therapy to get over it is work. Just start tapping, David. Here. Okay.
I feel better.
You feel good? Happy drill bit. Here, hug this thing. He's very soft and weak.
But I'm also someone who, you know, over the past few years, since we moved, especially from New York and Colorado,
you're so soft.
I know, tried to divest of things, divest of CDs, divest of cassette tapes.
I divested you. No, I divested.
I got rid of all the cassette tapes I used to have.
Yes.
The videotapes.
Yeah.
It was sort of like all this stuff, this paraphernalia that I loved and sometimes miss in a sense of wanting to have more
stuff.
No, less stuff. Like not have stuff of keeping a room pristine, because you always said I was messy and a hoarder. And I was never messy.
You're not messy, but you pile. Any flat surface, you put stuff on, you start, you know, you can't resist it.
I know where everything is. So
it's like a call for you, like, I must pile stuff on this flat surface. So, yeah.
Yeah, to have it handy and to know where it is.
An emergency,
And when, of course, you collect CDs and tapes and record albums and everything, then at a certain point, you just have more stuff than the rooms can pleasantly handle. So it looks like a mess. It looks like, not junk, but it kind of looks like you're not neat when you're perfectly neat. Well, not perfectly, but you're
you
just...
You should show the table how you're organized. Your stuff.
This is your stuff. Well, for the show, I need it handy. Yeah. Right. This looks like a mess. It cleans up in 5 minutes, right? At the end of every show, I got to take all this stuff. I'm in my wife's office here. Well, not at school, but at home. So, but I need this here. I need, well, I won't be needing this anymore. But I need trombone.
Let me see.
Yeah, it's probably, I don't know. I don't think this is like.
I need a screwdriver, and I'm not going to do it because it'll set you off. I can unscrew it. It's very simple.
Just don't use a drill bit.
Yeah. No, there's one way to unscrew it and just get that.
Oh, good. Is it a Phillips? Probably a Phillips head. Oh, she's going to do it. We're going to try, Joyce is going to try and fix the air horn.
I'm not going to, I can't, I don't have batteries with me, honey.
Oh, well, do you think that takes a triple A, or is it one of those tiny little NiCad things? Well, every Phillips should fit.
Yeah, but it's a tight little hole.
That's what she said. Yeah, we might have to get a smaller physical screwdriver.
Yeah. I also don't know which way to turn it.
The way you were turned looked like an opening turn. When you turn it towards your left shoulder, like you're doing. Oh, she's trying, ladies and gentlemen.
The screw is stripped, though.
Oh, really? We never opened it. How can we strip already?
I think it is. Yeah, it's stripped.
Oh, our air horn. Oh, well. How did that happen? So sad. Anywho, this is among the paraphernalia that I use for the program. And I guess that is kind of fun. Although I always think of, what's his name from the Howard Stern show?
We'll get another one.
Yeah. Not Boy Gary. Who is the Fred Norris?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, him saying back in the day, having to throw all these carts in to make the noises, he probably now just has a computer where he goes, this quote
are
from
they
this
still
actor.
Are together on the show?
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Boy Gary, Robin, and I'm pretty sure. Only Stuttering John is gone. And of course,
what
not
happened?
Gone. I mean, just.
What happened?
I don't know. I think he probably fell out with him or just went on to. He went on to the Tonight Show, which wasn't a bad gig.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But this idea of, I wouldn't mind pressing a button to make a noise. I do it sometimes with one of my favorite websites in the universe. This is going to be pretty loud, but I have to do it. It's, you haven't heard this in a, hold on. No, hold on. Gotta do it. My computer's getting so slow to load some of these websites now. Okay. Are you ready, babe?
Mm-hmm, yes.
How about you tell me a joke?
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
To get to the other side.
Yeah! BelovedInstantRimshot.com.
That's nice.
That is just, I use that actually in class.
This is going
to,
I need a smaller screwdriver.
Then that's just going to strip it further if you're turning the hole. Oh, well. Oh, well.
Yeah.
She's trying.
No, I can't.
But anyway, so this is how I am of different minds of paraphernalia. I think it can be fun if you have little toys and things that help you out.
It's gonna make me crazy. I want to break it open.
Oh, do that. Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess you probably could throw the battery in there and tape it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So,
could I do that?
As opposed to throwing the thing away, we might as well.
I want to do that.
But I think we have a baby Phillips maybe in the toolbox.
It's already stripped. I don't know why.
Well, if it's already stripped, it's probably down to fuck.
You want me to get this to the box and try it?
The what? The what?
The box and try it.
Well, we can, or maybe after the show later on in the program. Okay. And then if it works, we'll debut it again. We'll bring it back for the next show next week.
We'll just buy another one.
If they have one, yeah. If they have their own. Oh, Sloth went down again. Look at that. Oh, this is very exciting. Drum roll.
Oh.
It doesn't have a ta-da at the end. No, it's missing that, which sucks. I don't know why. They do have Rooster. Rooster's pretty neat.
Okay. But I want to get the toolbox and do this.
Do it. Do it up.
It's not going to work.
It's on the washing machine.
It's stripped, but I'm going to...
Yeah.
I don't know what I can do with it. I
may
have to use pliers.
Oh, if you're going to really pull off the thing. All right, well, bring up the whole toolbox then. You're watching Dave's Gone By. I don't know if I'm really finished talking about paraphernalia. It didn't bring up as much as I thought that it would. Yeah, that's pretty much it. On the whole, I come down somewhat against it. If I had to take a position on paraphernalia, I would say, like, less is much, much, much more. You're watching the 961st episode of the Dave's Gone By Show. We still have... There we go.
I don't think it's going to work because I think it's tripped.
Do you want to do it with your face off camera and physically on camera? Because that'd be fun.
No, I'm mad because I'm going to have to probably break it.
Well, that would make all of us sad. If
I got a hammer.
If I had a hammer. I hammer in the afternoon. In the evening...
Can you tell me which way to loosen a screw?
The way you're turning should be loosening it. That's why you know it's stripped, because it's not moving when you're moving.
Hold on.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Hold on. That one this one has the pointy head. The other one that was too, that wasn't the right thing, David. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, so I'm going to let you do, here, take this.
Uh-oh.
Please hold this, put, I'm going to
wait. Show me. She's taking that out.
Tape the screw to the back of it so we don't lose it. Just tape this somewhere on there.
Honey, there's what is this? I've never seen...
Take the screw on so we don't lose it.
Yeah, honey, there's no point. There's no way we could ever put anything in this. Look at this thing. Hold on. I gotta show it to the people.
Show
here.
The people. You want to use a leveler to level your bunion? Let me see it.
What is this?
Let me see it. Oh, those are three batteries.
Three?
Yes. So I don't want to use anything metal to get it out. I have tweezers, but see?
Oh, they are three NiCats. Look at that.
Here we go.
Look at that. Here we go.
Ta-da! Did you give me the screw? I want to tape it on here. Where's the screw in the thing?
Here is the screw on a piece of tape.
You can leave it up here. Show them there, and then we can get those batteries.
Yeah, wait, I can't bring this to you without the screw falling off. Here
okay.
You go.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
I just gave my wife a good screw.
No, I want to tape it there so we don't lose it.
Yes, I get that. And we have to... Now, each of these batteries is probably $15 in Walgreens. I'll bet you.
No, we're going to go to... We got to go... If we get our bagel, we can stop at the battery man, you know.
Oh, the battery...
Don't you have a coupon for... Like, you're a member of the battery club or something?
Oh, actually, I am. And I'll bet they could replace these.
They'll know what they are. Should I... Anybody else you want me to find batteries for? We can do the whole jam. These guys don't do
how's my vibrator working?
Mr. Rogers is a little bit weak. You want to get a better battery for him?
Do you think he'll be louder?
Yeah, he's so low, isn't he? Maybe he's just low. Yeah.
We can just get a spares if he takes the same...
Do you want me to open up Mr. Rogers' battery?
Might as well open up Mr. Rogers' butthole.
Anybody else that's low? Who's low? These things don't seem to...
Well, those might have... Take the same kinds of these little flat hearing aid batteries. Whoa. See, that one's broken there.
You tell me which one you...
Anything you press that doesn't make a proper noise. Here. Here.
Take this one, honey.
All right, one more.
The slide one is okay. Listen.
Well, that was one of the later ones.
These two are good.
Those two are good. Let's try this one.
the screaming goat. I can't access him. I don't know where the goat is.
Oh, I have him up here. Oh. The goat is. This one is dead. This is.
You want me to?
Dead.
So, okay. So, and if we the two red ones might have to take Mr. Rogers' head. Oh, look what happened to the. Uh oh.
What?
He's face down on the carpet, David.
Yeah, I can deal with those. I've dropped the potato here. I'm sorry.
No.
The shark potato thing. All right. Yes. Yes, it's chaos here in the neighborhood, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
I'm trying to open the battery thing so we
can... Yeah, I know, so we can get batteries, yeah.
I don't know which is for what, though.
Well, we have to
Wait a second. Are these the same kind?
Let me see. They might very well be. It's all almost the same company.
Shite.
Oh, she used the S word. Pop one out. There we go. Uh-oh. Can't even get the batteries out of the thing. Smack it in the back really hard or something. By the way, we still have Grilly Times coming up, as well as our Colorado Limerick.
They're corroded. Be careful.
Oh, well, that makes sense. And, of course, they're different.
Okay.
These are... Look at them. It's like higher up. Fatter, rounder.
Do you want to get... That's for the red one. Do you want to then also look for the
We need three. And how many were in the red one? Three.
But and then we have two red ones. Let me see the white sound machine, and I'll take that off, too.
All right, well, here's two of the white sound machines.
Here. Give me the little flap for... Give me the flap for the...
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah, we could try it. And if not, we'll ask you if we can bring the batteries back if they don't work.
If they don't work, yeah, that'd be nice. Or, like a guarantee. Yeah.
So let me have one of those.
This one's bad. We never even opened this. Well, we use it.
I'm going to take one out of the thing just to see the batteries, okay?
Yeah.
But I'll save the card, okay?
Yeah.
The card can protect the others.
Oh, this one's good. See, that one's got problems.
So let's just see what it takes. Oh, my God. What the heck is that?
That's a trail. Uh-oh, this one... It's got nice volume, but it's messing up like it's...
Whatever.
Well, that's all right.
Let's see what it takes, David.
Oh, and this is burp. Listen to this. Shameful. Sad, even.
Let's see what this... can you read and see if this is different or the same?
Oh, my God. This is all right.
Here, can you grab that one? Grab the battery.
Oh, okay. So, the two... This makes sense.
Okay.
The red and the white take the same exact battery.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So, we could get six of those and, like, see what, you know...
So, this one... This one has great volume. The middle things work. The top ones don't really work very well. I don't know if that's
that
a function of battery.
That got crushed, I think.
Yeah, so that's got a problem. How's this thing? Uh-oh.
Let's see that one. Let's see what he has. What does he have? That's only a one-up. We don't have anyone like him.
This
screwdriver is not good. The head's too fat.
I don't want it. You can have it. Head's too fat for me. Head's too fat for me. So, this is important stuff. This is the prop department.
I'm sure they sell these in packs, right? Like,
I'm hoping.
Don't you think?
Well, they're probably 2 and 4. I don't know if they'll do them like the AAA where you get 44 on a.
No, but if people are buying them for like machines and stuff, they're gonna sell more than one, right?
Yeah, I think so. So.
Now, which battery do you think this one has?
I'm guessing it's similar to this puppy.
Oh, well, this one's got fat ones.
Oh, jeez. What is... Don't tell me those are different also.
These are fat ones.
But they also look... Oh, maybe it's the same thing. Let me see.
Can you grab one? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Just take one. Put the other two in there.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
It is the exact same battery as those two.
Oh, so we could get like about six of each type, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, one is different, but the other ones are the same.
Yeah, only one.
The
air horn has the weird one.
Oh, okay. It has three of them, but they're different, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and each of these things has three.
Okay.
Each one of them has three.
That's easy to remember, yeah.
Yeah. So we're good. I think Mr. Rogers is kind of okay. I don't know if he'll get better.
He's just low.
Be nice if you were louder, but what can you do?
With that yelling thing.
Yeah. I don't think Pig needs a battery. No,
Pig is just air sponsored by, run by...
His Pigness, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, well, there we go.
It's battery day on your show.
I was going to say, I used to be normal, but
No.
Never, ever was I normal.
Batteries, honey. They're beautiful. Let me see how much they are. Give me a name of the battery.
Well, that's the problem. If I can even read this with my glasses on yet.
Oh, I can look here. Never mind. I can see. It's LR44 battery.
All right.
How much does an LR44 battery cost? LR44. Duracell has a pack of them.
Mm-hmm.
Four of them. And Ace has a pack of Maxwell. They have a lot of them.
Well, good.
I think, that's Amazon. I can't figure that
out. Well, yeah.
For $8 at Ace, you can get like a bunch.
A bunch? Well, okay.
I don't know how many that is. Oh, that's Amazon. I'm sorry.
Even more, yeah, okay.
They're not bad. I mean, I think it's worth it.
Yeah. I mean, to replace this is $10.
It says they last up to 2 years. Oh,
yeah, we've had them. Oh, Sloth just went down.
Oh, you got it.
Sloth is off camera now.
You can show. Hold on. Watch your tissue boat.
Tell me when I can go. My hip is starting to hurt. Okay, good. We're good. I can show the folks at home. Look how low down. Oh.
I've never seen that before.
The sloth love that will not speak its name.
They're like the Melendez brothers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. Can you believe it? On the Dave's Gone By Facebook, your podcast, and programming of the stream with me, Dave Lefkowitz.
Yeah.
Well, that means it's not going to be really ugly hot. Should be nice.
Just be careful you don't kick Potato. He's right by your feet, you know? Yeah.
So let's get to Grilly Times, because we still have our wretched pun, we have our Colorado limerick, we have our friends of the neighborhood to do. We got a lot going on. So first things first, Grilly, Colorado, where my wife and I lived for a few years, and I got it into my head. Well, no, actually, this is from the newspaper. The folks at the Grilly Tribune found some of the police blogger things.
Now you are one of their subscribers, so...
Yeah. Well, no, the only reason I should have done it. I'm cheap.
But it's actually nice because you're giving them back their...
They've given us so much fun over the years that it's only fair that I subscribe to their... Which you can do, by the way. If you're a first-time subscriber, it's like $6 a year for the digital.
That's not bad.
Why not? So, and this way I have instant access to every story that they do, including Cop Log, from whence we take Grilly Times. I'm dropping all the chickens. Here we go. I have them just in case we have a chicken alert.
No.
Okay. All right. Another one? What the hell is... What is...
That's chicken hair.
Okay.
One of the chickens had a toupee.
I think... I'm not gonna. I don't think this is hair from your head.
It is not.
Oh, it's from your head? I don't know.
It is.
It's from somewhere on you.
No, that's head hair.
That's not my head hair. No. Or my hair of any kind.
It's this color, my orange hair, like I have Ronald McDonald hair.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for some times. Some Grilly Times. Real stories that the police department in northern Colorado had people calling and say, hey, help. And here's what they're helping out. So, we begin. So, we do have some working implements and some telephones that work. So, we're waiting for our first phone call from Colorado. Oh, there it is. Okay. I'll grab it from the sound phone. A caller on 6th Avenue.
Oh, wait. Somebody wants to talk to you.
Oh, here we go. Well, put them on hold. I'll put them on hold. I'll get you in a sec. It's a spam call.
Aww.
Okay. A caller on 6th Avenue said someone put vines and leaves on her girlfriend's car. There's no damage, so dispatch advised her to use gloves to remove the debris if she felt unsafe. Yeah.
It's probably birds. We have birds make doo-doo in our car.
They make deliberate...
Birds,
she probably drove under a tree or something. I don't even...
That's unusual. Who knows? We never know the full story.
Well, this is a fuller story, because this was not part of Grilly Times. This was a story in the Grilly Tribune yesterday,
or
2 days ago. A Colorado man Oh, and it's a place we know, by the way. A Colorado man has filed a lawsuit against the Greeley restaurant, the Village Inn. Remember the Village Inn?
It was arsoned and rebranded. Oh, no, that was the diner. There was two or three of them. Yeah.
And this is the one on 30th Avenue.
Oh, that's the one that really in the fancier place. Yeah.
So, his lawsuit, his claim, is that he unintentionally swallowed a toothpick.
Oh, God!
Mixed into his meal.
Couldn't you die?
You could.
So, as a child, I never understood this.
Yeah.
My mother, and mostly my mother, used to like club sandwiches. Oh. And they would like layer like bread and all sorts of meat and like veggies and stuff. But then they would put a toothpick. And I always said to my mother, why would they serve it with a toothpick? Because if people were really hungry or engaged in conversation,
they wouldn't notice.
I always thought they would eat the toothpick. And she said it's just a custom of that type of, like, Woolworths and other sandwich places do that.
Well, the reason they do it makes sense.
The
slots fell. But the reason that, at least to me, why you would put a toothpick in a sandwich is if you're going to a place like Katz's or a real deli that gives you a sandwich,
you put the old bone again.
Layers of, oh, here, let's do it. Ready? Slots going
wait,
back
wait,
up.
Wait.
There he is. So the toothpick is supposed to hold the sandwich together.
Yeah, but imagine you don't see it or like,
But you have to understand that there's these companies. This is the factories. What they do, they make the toothpicks and they put
that little swirly thing. Yeah.
I always thought if I wasn't teaching, if I wasn't doing anything, I would be one of those people in a factory putting the little swirly tips. No, it's not swirly enough. It's not colorful enough.
No, it's too many swirls.
But there are times.
It's like always one color.
But it's sort of a silvery gold color.
Yeah, or like sometimes green or red. Yeah.
Well, it's color. But
I'll show you a picture. Toothpick toppers.
But I have seen sandwiches where it came off, or it's just a toothpick, and you can miss it.
Toothpick with swirly tops.
Yeah. Like for deli sandwich, sort of, yeah. Because I get why they
frill
do it.
Frill picks.
There we go. Frill picks. Oh, we gotta get a thing of frill picks.
If I swallowed, David, honest to God, when we were in Ireland, I thought I swallowed tinfoil. I got scared. Yeah. Because that stuff can cut you up. If you swallow a toothpick, it's going to hurt
it's
you.
It's bad.
I'm sure it could hurt you in a bad way.
Well, or even, I mean, I don't know if I actually did this or dreamed of doing this, of biting into something and having, like, the toothpick go into my palate a little bit.
Oh, my God. No, that was a creme caramel.
Oh, no, I know. I know I burned the roof of my mouth with that. But I feel like at one point I almost sort of did. I was like, oh, whoa.
With a toothpick?
Because the toothpick was in, and it wasn't as visible. It was a high sandwich.
I have a feeling you did it when you were doing your play with Richard.
Really?
In the diner, yeah. You almost ate a toothpick. You were sick, and we got you soup. But I
had soup.
And you were trying to eat a sandwich, and I think you almost ate the toothpick. I have a vision of that.
I don't remember that.
Unless I was hallucinating.
I was hallucinating that day. Let me tell you. But that's the thing. It can happen. For 1,000 toothpicks and 1,000 sandwiches, one time the foil thing will come off. The frill will come off.
When I was a meat eater, I was in Outback, and I ate baked potato. And in the potato, there was a plastic. It was from.
Well, that's
the,
a mistake. Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The toothpick. This is an intentional thing.
The waitress or waiter, I would get gloves and I would say, here's your sandwich, and I went on toothpick it.
That would be
or
cool.
Or I would tell people there's a toothpick in your sandwich.
Yeah, both halves. That's what they. Yeah,
that's
Because. Yeah.
Do we know what happened?
Yeah, the man is suing. He has a claim.
No, but is he okay?
No.
Oh, no.
No. We just found it would be a frivolous lawsuit.
Like shoot it, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. No, he swallowed the thing.
Oh.
And.
No.
It perforated his bowel. Yeah. It was bad, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. And if you've ever had a perforated bowel, you know that's a pain in the ass.
I wonder when you eat at a restaurant, are you signing away your rights or something? Like, I don't know.
No, I mean, they've got a... The thing is, is that the kind of thing that a restaurant will do just rogue, and it's
yeah.
sort of their fault, but sort of not, as opposed to leaving a piece of plastic or a fingernail. Yeah.
I want the phone. I want to look up any lawsuits about toothpicks.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm curious, like, yeah, I mean, it didn't, the tinfoil, thank God I didn't eat it and it didn't kill me, but it could have.
So, yeah.
Are there any lawsuits about human beings who consume food mistakenly with toothpicks? He swallowed a toothpick, it could have killed him.
Yeah.
A man nearly lost his life.
Is that him? Is it Mikel Salgado?
Look, it says perforations of the intestine are common and the associated mortality is high.
Yeesh.
Three deaths from swallowing a toothpick.
Jesus Christ.
What famous person? Sherwood Anderson?
The playwright?
Yeah, here.
Oh, no. On March
8th. I let you know who it is.
Sherwood Anderson, I would. He's a playwright. Author of the American classical, well, I'm a novelist. Author of Winesburg, Ohio.
Yeah.
Died from peritonitis. He swallowed a toothpick. Oh, my God.
Apparently, this is super. I guess it does, like, boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, no, pokes.
Yeah, oh my!
You go septic.
So honest to God, what I would do then is I would get pieces of, like, get a little plastic thing or something.
Yeah.
Or just like tell.
Or
people,
just put the fucking sandwich in a container.
Or just put like something on top of it, like a tomato or something heavy to hold it down. Mm. What would hold it? Like a pickle? Something would hold it. Put another plate on top of it.
Yeah, well, but one person's eating. Yeah, I mean they don't want it to
just, you know,
fall
what's
over.
Related design from Hendrix design from choking on vomit. Dinglefoot.
I'm watching. What? Wait, what? Dinglefoot? Yeah. Did you just say Dinglefoot?
Yes.
Who the
I'm reading.
Wait, hold on. Oh.
What?
This is beyond. He was 72 years old. This guy named Dinglefoot.
Yes.
Well-known British politician
and
brother to the future Labour Party leader Michael Foot. Died in a Hong Kong hotel after choking on a bone in a chicken sandwich. And Bonzo Bonham, I think he died. He's probably vomit. These are lists of people who choked to death. And then under this, there's also this question of why did people chew on toothpicks? Uncle Sonny did that.
I never understood
my uncle
that, like, you know, or
had
like
a
people
toothpick.
In the West, when they're like, they have that thing, the... You know, like a reed. They chew a reed or something.
Yeah.
I don't...
Well, I mean, I get using it to.
Is it obsession? Like obsessive chewing?
Well, they say that it's a fashion. It was at one point fashionable and ritualistic.
Fashionable?
Part of the cultural. Yeah, like looking
James
cool.
Dean, like
yeah.
James Dean, right?
So instead of smoking, right, you just kind of keep a toothpick in your mouth. And it was kind of a cool thing to do. And I remember my Uncle Sonny doing that.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm glad he didn't swallow one. So he lived long enough to be killed accidentally by a police officer speeding to a crime.
Who would think
crime?
That would
yeah.
be so... I mean, I understand it, but I'm going to get some spray. But who would think it's so... I mean, because I would think when you chew it, don't they chew it? Or
they're swallowing it whole? They're swallowing a big... Yeah, it might not have been the whole tooth. Could have been half a toothpick. Could have broken in half. One part of the toothpick is long enough still to poke through, be pointy, and do damage. Well, I don't know. I mean, they could probably show the x-ray in court, you know? So what happened was Mike Salgado said it happened at the Village Inn on 30th Avenue back in September of 2022. And he didn't notice the toothpick in his skillet dish.
Somebody wants to weigh in.
Yeah.
He knows about this.
Oh.
I know.
Well, he knows about it. Perfect. Oh, are you okay?
I just stepped on glass, but I'm fine. Yeah, wow, look at that. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine. It's broken glass.
Does that mean we get company or bad luck?
Neither one. I know I gotta get a new frame.
Well, the frame is now, kaput.
I love this frame.
Well, not anymore. Now we got, there's now. And we were talking about Arthur Miller before, and what do you know? We now have broken glass.
Yeah. I saved the car, that's good.
Well, that's the most important thing. It was the thought that counted.
I need my tweezers.
Yeah, be real careful.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You don't feel anything,
no,
right?
I didn't get stuck. I would have.
Good. All right. Yeah.
I just got scared.
No, she was barefoot and she stepped on a piece of. I think that'll make more pieces, don't you?
No.
Oh boy. All right. Yikes. All right. Leave something near the tiniest pieces so we can vacuum it, or just get those up in case there was a shattering involved. Anyway, I'm sorry. So, folks, I'm just going to tell you about this Mikel Salgado.
I can't believe that. Why would you put a toothpick in a skillet?
In a skillet dish. That's what's so hysterical.
Do you think it fell out of somebody's mouth into
me? Ew. No, I don't know. I don't know what you would pile so high in a Mexican food, like a burrito. You hold a burrito. I don't know.
But he didn't feel it when he was chewing.
He didn't notice it, and he swallowed it, didn't even know about it. Later, he felt nauseous, felt sick, and learned that the toothpick had punctured his bowel, which led to several medical procedures, including removing his appendix.
I'm going to put it here so we know what's here.
Yeah, all right. We got to get a garbage bag, right?
New blood, yeah, new blood.
Well, thank God. Yeah.
I want a new thing now.
Well, we can find a frame. We can go to Michael's and get a frame.
Money.
Yeah. Anyway, an attorney for the Village Inn's former owners, because the Village Inn, that restaurant, that, what do they call it?
It's a franchise.
That particular location closed a couple of months ago. No relation to this. A lot of Village Inns have closed. But the former owners are not commenting, so they're going to see what happens, but they're suing
you. You know, David, what happened. I mean, it's a freak accident. Like, oh, God. Oh, no. My cart fell over, too. That's what we heard fall. But it's a freak accident. Like, nobody would want that for anybody. Like, nobody wants to make somebody sick by doing that.
Of course not.
I don't believe that person would have, you know.
But there are things of negligence. You have to, if it snows and turns icy, you have to shovel your sidewalk. You have no intention of someone falling and breaking their leg, but if somebody does, what did you lose?
There was a little grater in there.
Okay, well, maybe we'll find it. We'll leave it for later. Everything's kind of getting all helter-skelter, higgledy-piggledy. I don't see anything on the floor, though.
That's okay, I'll just put this in.
Alrighty. Let's get back to more Greeley times. For example...
Give me a second.
Yeah, no. I had
another thing in there. I just don't see.
It probably just fell on the table somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, here's the egg.
Now
there's the egg thing. Where's my eggs?
Hon, you're 55 years old. I don't think you have any eggs left.
I don't know why, where's all the stuff? Like, that's missing stuff.
I don't know.
Like, you put your stuff on my stuff and ruined my stuff.
Oh, did I do that?
There are eggs here with no container.
Was that the ones we were going to bring to your...
No,
your...
I gave it to her, to them. I don't know what happened,
All right, after the show, we will look on the floor and we will try and find...
Oh, I found the egg container.
Good. Okay.
I have so few things I enjoy. You know that's true. Okay, honey.
All right, I need a phone call coming in, please.
Okay. Oh, wait, not this. Not that.
A caller on 9th Avenue. Oh, actually, I never think of actually picking up a phone. A caller on 9th Avenue said that someone, had turned off the air conditioning in her unit. The air conditioner was downstairs, but the caller couldn't go down there because of a restraining order her neighbor has in place against her.
That happens, yeah.
That's a fun living situation, ain't it?
Kind of messy.
Yeah. Here's another one. But I'm not sure where it's from. I got it. A caller at an unknown address said that his wife came home drunk at 5 in the morning and was trying to leave for work. He tried to take her keys, but she threatened to call police on him. So a wife like that, let her drive, you know? Let's do an elsewhere. Let's go away from Greeley, Colorado, to someone else. We always do this every week. For one story that isn't Colorado, isn't Greeley, Northern Evans, that kind of, you know, Weld County. We're going all the way to Kershaw County, South Carolina, from a paper called the Shepherd Express. Speaking of lawsuits... Richard E. Brown of yeah. Kershaw.
What's
Lane,
the town for today?
The town is our Colorado our Limerick of the Damned is Ayer, A-Y-E-R, Ayer, Colorado. So Richard E. Brown of Kershaw County, South Carolina, filed a lawsuit on August 1st against Buc-ee's.
Oh, Buc-ee's is a chain too?
A convenience store chain, yes, yes.
Why is there so much? What's going on?
This does not involve a toothpick.
Thank God.
Actually, a toothpick would have helped him.
No, but I don't think so. That man is dead, right?
No, wait, who's dead?
The one with the toothpick.
No, he's suing. He's just got he had his appendix out. I mean, he had to have his bowel, I guess, resected or something. So.
That's horrible.
Well, yeah. We'll have a bowel of fun. So Richard E. Brown is filing this lawsuit for something else that happened in 2022. Brown was walking on a sidewalk near or by Buc-ee's convenience store in 2022 when he tripped over a rope, which caused him several injuries. Why, I hear you say, why was there a rope on the sidewalk?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was holding down the store's inflatable beaver mascot. The lawsuit claims that Buc-ee's was, quote, aware of the dangerous condition of the rope that was holding the inflatable beaver in place, unquote. Brown is suing for negligence and seeking unspecified financial damages. They asked the beaver about it, and he said, damn. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think, and not a moment too soon, let's get back to some Greeley Times, ladies and gentlemen. Some more calls that came into the Greeley Weld County Police Department from real people with unreal stories to tell. A caller said that her cameras caught two officers opening a mailbox the night before. The caller wanted to know if she needed to help in any way. Isn't that great? It's like, I see you're reading other people's mail. Perhaps I have the steamer. I just bought it for our clothing.
I'm good. I'm a fast reader. I could, like, take notes or shorthand.
See through the envelope, wow. You know. I'm going to help.
That's going to be on the neighborhood watch, the neighborhood.
So that's a happier kind of one. This one is a little more normative, coming in
to the neighborhood.
I got it. I'll use the poo phone. A caller at Alpine Avenue Court.
Ooh, that sounds beautiful.
Well, they said a family member went to a shop that fixes trailers and went missing for 2 days. Family member was found that morning, but the caller believed the people at the shop gave him drugs. Maybe Alpine Avenue Court is not so lovely.
At a what kind of shop?
A place that fixes trailers.
So why would they give him drugs? It's a trailer shop. It's like a garage.
Yeah, no, because nobody takes drugs in a trailer park.
Maybe he just went on a vacay.
Maybe the Flintstones chewables.
Yeah, I think that's what they gave him.
That was my favorite joke of the rabbi today. Did I tell you this one? Why, what was it? And he laughed while telling it, so he kind of screwed up the punchline. But what do a terrorist's testicles have in common with the Flintstones? Bam, bam. I'm just like the rabbi. Makes me laugh. Makes me laugh. oh my goodness. Let's do one more from a place that we remember, actually. A place that we used to go all the time.
Where?
Center Place Drive. A caller at a crafts store on Center Place Drive said a man was blaring music in the bathroom and refused to leave. I guess some people just need that extra push. And that, my friends, for this Saturday morning, September 21st, 2024, is Greeley Time. Just when I say it up so perfectly, I forget to put the song on. Greeley Times.
Yeah.
Mr. Horace Greeley was no fool. I'm sure that you'll agree with me that Greeley was no fool.
But he is getting there, you Mr. Greeley was no fool.
Yippee-yay!
Yippee-yay, 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 yay, yay, yippee-yay, yippee-yay, yippee-yay.
So we are very, very pleased to bring you items like Greeley Times every week. We bring you our Colorado Limerick of the Damned. We bring you guests on the show, Rabbi Saul. Always, always fun. We won't do Bunyan Watch this week, but next week, watch for my bunions. But we still have more to do on this episode of the show. We have our Colorado Limerick. We also have...
Doing the Bunyan Watch theme,
right? Oh, okay. Well, we're not doing... We're not,
I'm just
going
to lead people on.
He's Bunyan. She's Bunyan. It really is a fun one. She's Bunyan. Listen, doctor, to my plea. Yeah, you got it. Time for bunionectomy. Bunions. Bunions. Painful. We're whetting your appetite for next week when we bring Bunyan Watch back, my friends. Which is basically a segment where I swear to you, I just show you my bunions. Yeah.
Everybody's got their stuff, right?
We do. We do.
It's harmless. It never hurts nobody. It's just a bunion show.
Oh, it's true.
Right? Yeah. It's like a nice way to show your bunions.
Well, people who don't like bunions have a bone to pick with me. But they do it on the spur of the moment.
Worcester and Worcester. Is there anything in here?
In
I want to use this box for the mirror. You got a separate thing here.
Oh, please do. Yeah.
Can I take it out?
Yeah, yeah. You can certainly remove it and pack up the broken glass there. So anyway, we before we get to our Friends of the Neighborhood and our Colorado Limerick of the Damned, we have brought back this week, in place of Bunyan Watch, our Wretched Pun of Destiny. Yes, my friends, this is where I tell a very, very short, really micro-short story that leads to a really bad... dad jokey kind of play on words, a pun, a really, really wretched pun of destiny. And this time it's going to be about coroners. So, you okay? Oh, there is another mirror. Good, another thing in there.
Open already.
Yeah, I have a spare ring light.
Do you want me to put it together or no?
If you're going to use that box for something else, use the,
I want to make sure there's, there's another part in there.
Where's that?
Where's the, look, this is a nice one.
Yes, I got a tripod, too. Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's got it's a strong one. Oh, wow.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah, it's got like the base is very, you got to pull that up somehow. I don't know.
She used to say that about my penis. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the wretched pun of destiny here on Dave's Gone By. So, yeah, it doesn't really need more... more setup than that.
Wow. Can't even look at this one.
I know,
what
I know.
What the heck is that? It's got, for the, you want me to put the phone attachment?
Oh, maybe, no, I never use it for that, do I? I use the computer instead of the phone for my whatevers. So, let me play the music
we'll save it.
Wretched Pun of Destiny.
Save that.
And here it is.
The Dave's Gone By Wretched Pun of Destiny.
Now, if I just have a little quiet for the moment, that I'm doing the Wretched Pun of Destiny, because it's a very important thing to me here. Get my glasses on. The Wretched Pun of Destiny, number 96, by the way, called Coroners. It was a busy night at the morgue. A murder victim was brought in, and the coroner had to cut the victim up to weigh individual body parts. As he's carrying the spine across the room to the scale, a policeman comes in, joined by another coroner from a nearby district. "Thought you'd want some help," says the cop. "Larry," says the coroner, "great to see you." "You too, George," says the other pathologist, running to help lift the spine onto the scale. The policeman says, "You guys know each other?" "Oh, sure," says Larry. "We go way back."
We here at Dave's Gone By apologize for bringing you the wretched pun of destiny. We here at...
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the wretched pun of destiny brought to you every, not every week, but fairly often by Dave's Gone By here in the neighborhood, where it is 11:30 in the morning Eastern Time. There we go. Are all the pieces in there? Did you get rid of them? And there's no little bits, nothing there, right?
Well, I don't even hear, but I don't see anything.
Okay, good. Well, all right. So, been there, done that. What else do we need to do? We need to do our Colorado Limerick of the Dam is what we need to do. So, therefore, let us begin that right after we do our Friends of the Neighborhood, which are people...
Can you put the second light on? You want to have two lights?
I can from down here. It'll be pretty strong, yeah. I mean... this is also, I have to go from that. I can do it from that side. Hold on. This is going to be an exciting debut of a second ring light.
And we have this,
because this was going to be a spare, but I might as well use it.
Contraband, if you ever want to put your phone in the light, you know, and do like a, that's for like doing podcasting.
Yeah, it's paraphernalia. Here we go.
Which one you like better? Now you got
two
lights there.
So let's try this. This one's kind of lowest down, but I'm going to put on a little extra light.
You can make it taller if you wish.
Oh, no, right? Oh, my. There we go. Flip it.
Ooh, David. Wow. Look at you.
What I really should do is just have it over here as balance.
Side, I believe, yeah. Watch your stuff.
Okay. So this.
That's lovely.
It's physically on camera, so that's a problem. So, I can kind of put it here. That's all right.
Yeah, how is it?
Well, it's very nice.
You got a nice
life. So, our Friends of the Neighborhood. We have a brand new friend of the neighborhood. His name is Barry Primus. He was our guest on the show talking to Rabbi Saul Solomon today. Really cool guy, and obviously stories to tell from... literally 80 years in the biz, acting since the mid-1950s. So let us talk about him and all these other folks who've been on the program in the past. So, Barry Primus, everybody, go see his new play. He wrote it. He's directing it. It's at Theater for the New City. It's called Soup in the Second Act. And yes, it's an actor's play. It's all about these actors who are stuck on their way to go to give their final performance. It's at Theater for the New City over at 155 First Avenue. And it's running, let's see, today's the 21st. 3, 4, 5. It starts Thursday at TNC and runs through mid to late October, so you got about a month to see it. And so great to have Barry Primus in. And thank you, by the way, very much to, once again, to Jonathan Slapp for helping set up that interview with him. And Rabbi Saul Solomon. You want to know more about Rabbi Saul? Are you looking for the container? Did I put it down somewhere? Hold on. It should be in there, but it's not. Yeah. Anyway, where it went. It's probably just in this mess here. Rabbi Saul, shalomdammit.com is his website. Shalom, D-A-M-M-I-T. Shalomdammit.com. This is where you can hear and read all of his rabbinical reflections, not just the one he did today, of all those jokes. He's done many sermons for years, plus all the interviews that he does, plus all the episodes of his hilarious TV show, Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour, plus his live stage show recorded at the Richmond Shepherd Theater about 12, 13 years ago. It's all there at shalomdammit.com. So we thank both of them for being on the show today. We also want to give a shout out to Alan Menken, Remember that today is your last chance, if you're in Maine, to go to the Algonquin Playhouse and see the classic Little Shop of Horrors. And he wrote the music for it. And, of course, Little Shop of Horrors, the revival, is off-Broadway now for a very long time. In fact, Sherry Renee Scott is going in there now. Well, he's not in it. He just wrote the music. It was Alan Menken and late Howard Ashman.
Oh.
They wrote The Little Mermaid together. They wrote the...
Why is it off-Broadway? Because you can't run on Broadway forever?
Well, Little Shop of Horrors was originally... I mean, we're going back, 30-something, 40 years... It was an off-Broadway show. They hit the Orpheum, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a big off-Broadway hit.
Yeah.
They did a Broadway revival a few years ago.
Yeah.
And now they brought it in a brand-new off-Broadway revival about 5-6 years ago or so. And it's one of those rare shows that survived the pandemic off-Broadway, and it's just been going and going and going.
Is
it's
it expensive
show.
To do because of the theatrical stuff, like the plant?
Well, the plant. Well, you can either... build a plant for $30,000, or you build a plant for $300,000.
Or you could make it fake, make it like the funny one in that show.
So it probably cost $500,000 to capitalize the off-Broadway.
How do they make the plant in the off-Broadway?
I'm not sure. I don't know the plastics of it.
Yeah.
But, they did a big Broadway production. That wasn't really a hit.
But could they borrow that plant?
Oh, from the one that was done 15 years, probably in a scrap heap somewhere. Or the designer took it home and dismantled it and used pieces of it. This is the way it is.
That's sad,
David. Theater, that's the thing about theater. They break it down. It takes 3 weeks to put up a Broadway set, and then they strike it in about 6 hours. That's just there's a bug in the closet there. You got a bug. There's a bug going whoop, 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 crawling up the thing. I have to go kill a bug. Hold on.
I'm
going to kill a bug. I'm going to kill it. Oh, it's a spider. Should
I leave it? It's up to you. It's your show.
Spiders in closet, that's all.
Bye-bye,
guys. It's
dead. David, you're a jack of all trades. I can do a show. I can take care of the bugs.
That's right.
I can collect potatoes. I can throw a slaw. I can make a living.
Just looking at the table next to me, it's insane concatenation.
It's weird stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, who else was on this program? Oh, I want to remind you that Art Paul Schlosser's artwork is still on view at Fair Trade Coffee.
May I have your phone, honey?
I don't even know where it is. Oh, here it is.
My phone's in the other room. Thank you.
In Madison, Wisconsin, through the end of October, go see Art Paul Schlosser's paintings.
Did he get hurt?
He did, but he's fine now. It was a few months ago. He tripped or something hit him in the face.
Yeah, but I thought he was...
Yeah, but he looked all bruised because he'd take a shot, but he's fine. Thank God he's fine. Katie Huffman, she has directed a new off-Broadway musical called Empire, and this is its closing weekend. It's running just through tomorrow at New World Stages. Amanda McBroom is singing her own songs at Birdland. This is happening on Monday evening, Birdland over on West 44th Street in Manhattan. And on Tuesday, Michelle LaRue, whom I used to know when I wrote for Backstage, Michelle LaRue, her solo show, Women Breaking Loose, will be done at the Sea Caucus Public Library in New Jersey. That's this Tuesday night. And then starting on Thursday and running Thursday and Friday, there's going to be an industry reading of a play called The Brat of Stratford, and it features our friend Robert Cuccioli. That is happening at Theater 555 in New York. On Friday, Penny Fuller is going to be in a reading of a show called Someone is Sending a Message. That is happening at the Ethical Culture Society on West 64th Street. Want to let you know that the off-Broadway shower, off-Broadway show, Diamond as Big as the Ritz, which is co-written by our friend Seth Bissenhirsch. That is at the Sargent Theater. I think that's part of the ATA on West 54th Street. Now through the middle of October, remember that you can hear podcasts of Flash Force, Middle-Aged Women Superheroes Save Democracy. A new episode drops every Wednesday, and it features such great folks as Lucy Arnaz, Jason Gras, and Karen Ziemba, all of them friends of the neighborhood. opening or already in previews for an opening soon on Broadway, Julie Holston has a part in the revival of Thornton Wilder's Our Town that is at the Barrymore Theater. Alan Menken, we mentioned him before, Aladdin is on Broadway at the New Amsterdam Theater. Katie Sullivan is at the Algonquin on Tuesday evenings. Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks play at Birdland, two shows on Monday evenings. And then, of course, Jim Caruso's Cast Party every Monday night at Birdland. Get your tickets at birdlandjazz.com. Michael Garron plays piano at the Roxy Hotel in Tribeca Tuesdays through Saturday evenings. Plus, he live streams the cocktail music on his own Facebook page. So it's Michael Garron, G-A-R-I-N. Evan Seplow is the editor of StageBuddy.com. David Sheward writes for TheaterLife.com, CulturalDaily.com, and my own website, TotalTheater.com. All these theater reviews. And speaking of theater reviews, Charlie Gross and Leslie Hoban Blake co-host the program Two on the Isle. They've just put up the episode that I'm on that they taped about 2 weeks ago, where they're asking all these different critics what they're looking forward to in the upcoming Broadway and off-Broadway season. So you can just go look for Two on the Isle on YouTube or their Facebook pages as well, and you'll see me as one of the talking heads. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Charlie and Leslie. Two on the Isle. And last but never least, Vicky Quadi. She's out there in Chicago doing Are You Smarter Than Your Eighth Grade Nun and Late Night Catechism. And those, my friends, the friends of the neighborhood. Thank you, Wolfgang. Okay, so we've done so much on this amazing episode of the program. We've had Barry Primus and Rabbi Saul Solomon. We've had Rabbi Saul and his rabbinical reflection. We've had Dave's Big Dictionary. We've had Greeley Times. We've even had a wretched pun of destiny. Oh, my friends, what a program it has been. And if we were to end it right now, if we were to stop the show at this very moment and just go swimming along with our potato shark friend, I think you would have had a full morning's entertainment. But we do have one more item for you, my friends. Of course, it is the Colorado Limerick of the Damned. Because my wife and I lived in Colorado for a bunch of years, and I decided to write a filthy, disgusting limerick about as many places in Colorado as I possibly could, using the name of the place, of course, as the rhymable item, where you have the first and second lines and the fifth rhyme lining rhyming with each other and the middle lines rhyming differently. But it's been easy sometimes, it's been tough other times. This wasn't a bad one. This one I wrote this week, and I'm pretty proud of it. It's for Ayer, Colorado. A-Y-E-R. Ayer, Colorado. And so we're going to give it an airing out for our Colorado Limerick of the Damned.
A limerick is a comic verse of five lines, in which lines 1, 2, and 5 will end with words that rhyme. And likewise, verses 3 and 4 also end with words that rhyme. So this is a limerick.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Colorado, Rado, Rado, our limerick of the damned from Ayer. Do you have anything for Ayer, Bip?
It's too small.
It is, yeah, it's got very, very little. It's a populated place along Highway 350 near Timpas. So that should tell you something. And it's in Otero County in southeastern Colorado. That is literally all that Wikipedia or anybody seems to have about Ayer, but it's real, it's a place, it's on a map, barely, might be on a GPS, barely, Ayer, Colorado. So ladies and gentlemen, I've written a poem about it, our Colorado limerick of the damned. This God-fearing cutie in Ayer spends all of her evenings in prayer. She wants me to study, but I tell ya, buddy, I'll do it, but only to layer. Yes. Please send your opinions or comments or complaints to davesgoneby@aol.com. davesgoneby@aol.com. That is the address and really the best way for me to read and receive everything you want to share with me. I will also, of course, look at Facebook. So if you want to message me there or just post under our past shows, you can do that too. So it's our Dave's Gone By Facebook page. But if you want to email, davesgoneby@aol.com. Our Twitter feed is RadioDave2, Radio Dave and the number 2. Dave, I always forget to put down the our Instagram page, but I do believe it's david.lefkowitz. So we can check our Instagram page for our postings also. And what else? Oh, and one more website. If you want to read all my old Colorado Limericks of the Damned, if you want to read my wretched puns of destiny, and they really are wretched, go to davelefkowitz.org. DaveLefkowitz. DaveLefkowitz.org. And it's my plays, my screenplays, a couple of them there, interviews that I've done over the years, other poetry I've written, song lyrics that I've written, tons of pieces of journalism, lots of theater reviews. Basically, it's an overview gathering together my writings, my one-act plays, my full-length plays. And if you're interested in more of the brain behind this mouth, where it has more time to actually write something rather than speak so extemporaneously, check out davelefkowitz.org, and I think you will have a very good time. And of course, if you have a theater and you want to put on one of my shows, please give me, it's by posting my play Blind Date on my website that I got a production out in India. So seriously, so cool. Folks. It was one of the...
They laid out beautiful images, like the tripod, like a triptych of three beautiful images.
Yeah. The visual, a wonderful job of it, too.
It was great to see it. Could you imagine, you could see it and stuff? It was beautiful.
I was absolutely thrilled. It was one of the happiest moments in my life as a writer, which has been pockmarked with disappointment, but not that time. So I thank those folks. But if anybody wants to do my shows, you can read them for free by going to davelefkowitz.org. Okay, so I think we've covered everything. We're pretty good. There was one piece of news item that I did want to share with you that I think is quite wonderful. You're not going to believe. You will believe. Maybe you will believe this. I think I want to share screen for this, unless you want to get this guy up. Do me a favor. I'll spell it for you. I'll spell his. Just do Peru.
P-E-R-U. Yeah.
And then... Saavedra.
I got it. You typed it in here before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you get the picture of him? Yep. This week, Peruvian surgeon and congressman was found dead at the age of 46.
Oh, no, that's young.
He was a center-right candidate, mm-hmm. whose motto is, We Are Peru.
Oh, there you go.
But his full name, here he is, ladies and gentlemen. This was the man's name. This was an elected politician in Peru, Hitler Saavedra. Mm-hmm. Hitler. How? We wonder. Now, this guy was not in crazy. He was 46. His parents would have known who Hitler was.
Maybe they liked the name.
Maybe I guess they did. Maybe, and he chose not to change it.
Can you change it?
On his 18th birthday, I don't know.
You can, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's not American, he's Peruvian. Yeah, but he went through, and he was elected. The idea of another politician elected with the name Hitler.
Is he the only politician elected with that name besides
him? I don't know if anybody's naming their kid first name Hitler. I think there have been...
We've never heard of it, you know?
There has been. I take that back.
Is that a common German name? I don't think so.
This is Peruvian.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
that's the even weirder thing. Also, there were these American parents, there were right-wing skinhead types, who named one of their children Adolf Hitler, and they tried to take the kids away under the laws of, not parental cruelty, but what do they call that, of not bringing up a child.
Oh, neglect?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you name your child Adolf Hitler, and I think the other kid was named Eva Braun. I'm not kidding. There were stories all, but... Well, farewell to Hitler Saavedra Castanoke, found dead this week. Yeah.
Why is the potato staring at the light, David? I'm worried about him. They're all staring at that light.
We do. We don't stare into darkness. We kind of look towards the light. He's so cute.
The little seal. That's so freaking cute.
Speaking of cute, the other thing that we can talk about is if you haven't seen it on the web, if you haven't seen it on the internet, look for the baby Chinese hippo.
Give it to me. I'll find.
Is it Mudeng or?
Oh, he's so cute, and they have makeup tutorials to look like him.
I don't know if I want to do that.
I think he's a miniature hippo. Hold on.
Yeah.
Miniature hippo mean. Oh my god!
It is this.
Why is the internet obsessed with him?
Because he's so freaking adorable. This is Mood. Oh my god!
Maybe they'll make a potato like him.
Oh, I love him. Look at him.
Maybe they'll make a potato costume like him. You think?
Yeah, probably put them in a, yes, they probably, look, this is real. That is a...
I mean, that zoo is probably so happy that baby was born, you know?
I hope it doesn't turn into a Snooty situation where they accidentally kill him.
No, because Snooty got wedged in something. You know?
Well, because they left the gray off, but this is the greatest picture ever.
Let me see. Oh, cutie pie!
You know why he's so cute? He looks like a manatee.
He looks like a manatee and a seal had a baby. Oh. Or a manatee and a hippo.
Or, yeah, manatee and seal, or manatee and Heidi Klum, either one.
Aww,
look how cute that is.
What's his name, Mumu?
Mudeng.
What is it? Oh, it means like baby cow or something.
Yeah, something.
Let me look
it up. Yeah, please. Mudeng, D-E-N-G.
Okay.
As opposed to, I call him Mudeng.
What does Mudeng mean in English?
Mudeng Hippo, name.
What does the name Mudeng, the baby hippo, mean in English? Bouncing pork. David.
They should change the hippo's name to Hitler.
David.
It's better than bouncy pork. Oh, it's a kind of meatball.
Oh, like a meatball.
Yeah.
Like calling a meatball. That's cute.
The name was chosen by fans via a poll on social media.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that wonderful? And it matches the name of her siblings, Mutun, which is stewed pork. And Muwan, sweet pork.
Oh, sweet pork must be a sweeter one.
Muwan, Mutun, and of course,
stewed pork must be a meaner one. Stewed pork.
Yeah. Or they should, that one they could just call stew.
I love that. What's it like a meatball? What it's called.
Mudeng, it's Mudeng bouncy pork.
I love that.
We gotta love him.
But bouncy pork is like a dumpling, is what you're telling me?
Like a little meatball dumpling thing. Oh my god, look at him.
Let me see. Oh, he's cute. But is he like tinier? Like, here.
I don't know. If it's a baby and a dwarf.
I think it's tiny and it's smaller, like.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Meme over time. Life. Oh, born July 10th, so near you.
So he's a baby.
To parents Jonah and Tony, right?
Yeah.
Favorite among fans.
Yeah.
Oh, so she's more playful and energetic than other hippopotami, so she's got more interest.
She got the swag.
They have merchandising, clothing.
Of course.
There's a cake shop named after her. Made a cake. Sephora made a line of makeup named after her. She has viral popularity. And some visitors harassed her by splashing her with water.
Oh.
And now they have security cameras.
Of course.
Five minute time limit to see her. She's more than the queen.
Wow.
Oh my god. Let's look up what's the zoo? Oh, she has a Facebook. Let me get her Facebook page.
We can also name her Mu Deng Xiaoping.
Oh, let's get her Facebook. Okay.
Oh, this is gonna be so cool.
official hippopotamus Lu Dang's Facebook page.
Is she going to stay that small? Well, probably not.
I think it seems like these are all...
A two-month-old hippopotamus
Oh, my God. I don't know if this is... This isn't her real... I'm going to look it up. Let me look.
Mu? Mu Dang.
For me?
M-O-O. And then separate word, Deng. D-E-N-G.
I mean, she's got to have an official page.
I wonder if Deng Xiaoping is part meatball.
Daily Mail. Oh my God, there's so many.
Good.
She's so cute. Oh, she does not want a bath. You want to do that one?
Well, she, she
does
don't
not. Want a bath.
Oh, you're showing video.
She's fighting back.
Oh, she's bigger than I, well. No, she's not. Oh, that's the mother. Look at it.
And
my God.
And then you're trying to bathe her, but she don't want to. See, she's running away. That's like you when I say soap. Yeah, see? And then she's like, rah, rah, rah.
She's almost.
He's like, come in the water.
I see the meatball because it looks kind of like a pig.
She's so cute. Okay.
Oh, we like her.
Yeah.
Mu Dang.
Is Mu Dang a girl?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I don't know how to turn the water.
I don't know either.
I just turned the...
Yeah, the volume off.
He must have hit another video. Oh, here. Oh, look at this. Here you go.
Okay, well, a little bit more of Mu Dang, ladies and gentlemen.
It's like a
video. It's a slideshow.
Like yeah.
Check this out.
She's so cute. Look at the face.
Oh.
So cute, honey. Here.
Yeah.
So cute.
So,
not as cute as our potatoes.
No, no, nothing. Nothing is as cute as our potatoes. But ladies and gentlemen, it is just about noon.
Your phone constantly flips.
I know, I know. My phone is my phone. I'm Dave Lefkowitz. This has been the 961st episode of the Dave's Gone By Facebookio Podcastio Programio of the stream that you have been watching on, the last day of summer.
Can
yeah.
We get
Oh, do you want to maybe get her from the zoo? Like
they
that
named
be...
a restaurant. Oh, that's sick. In Reno, Nevada.
Well, they don't serve hippo.
No, but that's David.
They probably have, actually, they probably serve a lot of hippos if they're fat women they're eating there.
That's
but, you know.
Not fair. That they, maybe it wasn't named for that. It might have been another. Yeah, that existed. Where is Mu Dang?
But let me tell you, be with us next Saturday, September 28th, for the 962nd episode of the Dave's Gone By show.
Oh, she's pygmy.
Oh, that's she is a tiny thing, yeah. A pygmopotamus. And our guest next week in the neighborhood is going to be somebody that I've known for, God, 3 decades or more at this point. Someone who was the founder of 29th Street Repertory Theater. Speaking of off-Broadway and off-off-Broadway theaters, the guy who really helped bring the show Killer Joe and its author Tracy Letts to, like, beyond, like, a little storefront theater in Chicago.
David, it said she's doubled the amount of visitors to that zoo. Doubled.
I'm surprised it's only doubled. Yeah. So, David Margintale. David Margintale. Now, there's an amazing story behind all this. You'll hear it next week. But he does voice work for, like, Grand Theft Auto. And he's also been in a couple of movies, and he's done some really cool stuff. But his main acting days of running the theater are kind of behind him because he spends most of his time as a waiter.
Here's her TikTok page.
So David Margintale, talk about a personality. Talk about somebody with stories to tell. You're not going to want to miss next week's episode of the Dave's Gone By. I want to pick me hippo too. The next episode.
It opens Sunday at 8.
Hey, do they have a live cam at the Chinese? Probably Chinese zoo would not have a live cam.
No, it's in Thailand.
They might.
I don't. They should. I can't. Can you read Thai?
No.
Translate the.
I can't even tie a Thai. So there you go. So, next Saturday, September 28th, be here for a brand new episode of the Dave's Gone By show with me, Dave Lefkowitz, my wonderful wife, and all of you at home. Our new potato, Piggy, will be there.
Oh, he's jealous.
Pooey will be there.
David, wait, David.
Oh, wait, what?
That's,
chickens?
No, that's
we'll
the
have
pig,
chickens.
But come here, look.
Well, we don't have a hippo, but we do have.
Baby, this is.
Oh, the
pygmy.
Baby, yeah, he's.
That's the pygmy one. Get it? That's the pygmy one.
Oh.
She's
She's suckling.
No, but she's famous. We'll call her Bouncy Pig.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Yeah. We could call them Moo Dung. No? Maybe not. On that note, on these many, many notes, it's time to put the neighborhood to bed for this weekend. So thank you so much. Everybody, tell your friends about davesgoneby.com. All our archives are there. Send them to our Facebook page. Just get word out about this show as we slowly but inexorably climb towards number 1,000. It's not that far, probably within the year. Well, a year, not this year, but before the end of 2025, we will have notched our 1,000th episode.
Wow.
We're getting there.
What are we going to do?
I won't even.
Maybe you should do it from a bouncy castle.
Yes.
Or maybe we could go to Thailand. You could do it with
yes!
But it'll be big by then.
Yeah, Mudang will just be a big old hippo.
Maybe there'll be another baby. If it's so popular, they're probably trying to get another baby going,
Oh, maybe.
But the mother, I don't think, is this pygmy variety.
No, they look like a big-ass hippo
the
there.
Baby,
yeah,
I guess. They say it's endangered and rare.
Oh.
So, yeah, she's very rare.
Well, maybe we'll do our 1,000th show from a Thailand zoo. Maybe we'll go get Israel. Maybe not. Maybe we'll go to Passaic, New Jersey.
We could go to Pikesville.
We could go from Pikesville.
Maybe we could.
It'll be quiet. It'll be Shabbos.
And we could do it with Mel, and Mel could, everyone could wear suits and stuff. We could have like a fancy.
Yes.
You know?
Oh my God, yeah.
We could just do it like a Nathan's Hot Dog thing where you have like an MC, band dancing people, horrible acts, people vomiting lemonade.
Actually, it would be pretty funny if we could find, if they could get permission to interrupt a funeral in progress.
No,
and actually do it at a funeral.
I wouldn't do that. That's rude.
Well, with permission.
That's rude.
You think? Yeah. It might be a little rude, but.
It's very rude.
All right, it's very rude. Okay, maybe we won't do that. Maybe we won't. Anywho, you've been watching Optimus Primus this Saturday on Dave's Gone By. Have a great week. Happy autumn to ya. You got Rosh Hashanah coming up. You got other cool things happening. Have a wonderful one, and we will see you. And gone by.
It's gone by.
Hey, Gordon!